Sunday afternoon. Rolling, I couldn't get away too soon. I can't imagine anything that's better. The world is ours whenever we're together. There ain't a place I'd rather be instead of bowling on a Sunday afternoon.
You're listening to Rooftop Sessions, supported by Ogden Media, Bayside Bowl, and now we're supported by Zoom, the best way to get together, see all your friends, and talk some smack about bowling.
I only got two notes on this harmonica. Playing cross on a G to D, it just doesn't work.
But we keep on spending sunny days this way. We're gonna laugh and sing our time away. I feel it coming closer day by day. Love would be ecstasy. You and me endlessly bowling on a Sunday afternoon.
All right, that just may have been the smoothest opening ever to a Rooftop Session, the occasional podcast about Bold Portland. That was Garlic Jones, who serenaded Bold Portland there a little bit. So good, bowling on a Sunday afternoon. He was definitely a veteran of Sunday afternoon bowling sessions. He would come and do three sessions with some breaks in between.
I talked to Garlic yesterday at 2:30, and I said, you would have already been at Bayside Bowl two or three times today by now with it opening at 10. He goes, that is damn true. Hungus, did he text you to see if he should post that song on Facebook?
He did not text me, no.
Okay, because he texted me and he sent me the video. He had told me that he sent it to you too. He's like, is this Facebook ready, or am I just being a self-absorbed drunk asshole? I'm like, no, dude, this is not awesome. Just Facebook ready. It's going on the podcast. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
No, that was good.
It was great. I think he's got a background in theater. Garlic, if you're listening, let us know.
He didn't bring that up when he was on the podcast. Yeah, Twitter. Twitter is blowing up these days, actually. We need to get back at it.
If there's anyone else out there who's listening who can create an ode to Bold Portland, please text it to one of us, and you'll hear it next week.
So at the bowling ball year two, the bowling ball was at Space Gallery, and I performed the Bold Portland jingle. It's only been performed once, never recorded, and it was scored, the Tough Cats. I sang them the song over like a phone message, and then they wrote some music to go with it, and turned into like a 3-minute song where they had a great minute and a half long Tough Cats bluegrass jam in the middle of the song, and then came back to the chorus. But I talked to Harlan P. from DHG, formerly of DHG, in the first two Bobo finals. He said he's going to try to remember it and work it up on his banjo, so hopefully we might be able to re-release the Bold Portland jingle.
That's awesome. I forgot about Harlan P., man. He was a great guy. Nice, smooth roll. What happened to Cheese? We lose that motherfucker?
He has internet issues, so Zoom isn't quite as flawless as we all think it is.
He's back.
Is that me? Or is that just on my side?
Yes.
Just you, buddy. Just you.
Oh, maybe we didn't all go to college.
Yeah, that rearranges the people. We should say that in this episode, I'm at home. Thunder's at home. Cheese is at home. But Hungus, he was in Studio A last week. He is joining in from the DJ booth, and the background looks spectacular.
Yeah, at some
point. So cool to see the lanes.
I can walk it around, Cheese, show you your banner at some point in the show.
Yeah, nice steady close-up.
Fuck you guys, banners.
We have quite a show here today. Hungus reached out to some special guests, and literally everyone within 10 minutes was a go. Yeah. So shockingly, bowlers don't have a lot to do either. So we'll be joined today by hopefully by Tim Mack, one of the 11 remaining people on the planet with an AOL email address.
Him and my mom. Two of them.
And 9 other guys.
Unum track and field coach has an AOL address too, so we've got three confirmed.
We're outing them.
We got Kyle Troop. We got Norm Duke joining us. We think Norm Duke anyway.
Eventually.
And yep.
I can't see Duke figuring out Zoom. No offense.
And then we have PBA Commissioner Tom Clark. So we'll check in from all around the country, see how people are doing. I think this will be fun. But I guess we got to talk about the Wings. Week one of the Wings seemed to go really well.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, Wings won. It went well for quite a bit. But about 1,100 wings. So a lot of them are just staff because they're free for the staff this week. And
it's a nice warm-up week. I think we can do better, huh? We can do more than that.
Well, I mean, we're trying to roll it out slowly. It's just two people, you know. So it's one guy in the kitchen and me handing you the wings. But it was cool. And Michaela doing all the work to actually get the orders taken care of. It's fun. It was socializing. You got to see everybody. I mean, you're not able to be anywhere near them, but you see them in their car, and you hand them their stuff, back up, and talk for a second. It was great seeing so many people from Bold Portland. It was really it felt like a Bold Portland event. It was really great.
Free beers on the reg, too. That was a fucking nice touch. Yeah. My kids, my wife and kids had never had them before. They're Bangas fans. They loved them. Like, I brought 40 wings. Only 6 made it into the fridge. Like, the kids just devoured them. So they were super good. The rest of that night kind of sucked dick, but, you know.
Yeah, tell us about that trip. Tell us about that trip, Thunder.
Fucking A. So I have a who drives anymore, right? I think I forgot how to drive. Not going to go into full specifics, but not paying attention, coming through a rotary, and just ate a fucking curb, like ate it, like 30 miles per hour, just boom. I was like, oh, fuck, man. I'm not going to pull over right now. Fucking A, hoping for just a destroyed rim. I don't hear immediate brrr. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. I get on 295 and I'm going. I'm like, things are kind of wobbling. I'm like, yeah, this is unraveling fast. So I get to 295 into Portland. Now it's like, if I've turned the music off, I'm like, what's that noise? It's my fucking, I'm rimming it to the exit right over by like Planet Fitness Marginal Way. There's an undercover cop under the bridge. Obviously he's not paying attention. They don't want to pull you over anyway. Nobody wants coronavirus. So I get down to the stoplight. I'm able to turn and get into fucking Planet Fitness. It's raining. Thursday was awful. It's pouring rain and cold. Call AAA because I can't fucking change a tire, dude. But then AAA is delayed. So I get I get my bullshit Honda jack out twice. Finally have crashes down. Get it back in there. Get it up. It's almost to the tires off the ground. I'm trying to pull it. And then the car crashes down again. I'm texting Charlie or Hungus. And I'm like, dude, you might have to be delivering my wings to the Planet Fitness parking lot. He's like, well, I sent Peanut Gutter over to shit on you. So fortunately, right as it crashed again, AAA drove up. He's like, dude, that jack's a piece of shit. You got no chance. So I got over to Hungus by like 6:30 for last call. And it actually worked in my favor because I got 8 random beers and he still filled up my growlers. So I got extra beer. But actually gave me an extra hour out of the house. So I didn't really care. Now I got to support local yesterday at Yarmouth Tire Warehouse. New tire. Those wings cost me $200. $250, I think.
Yeah, we got a special. Too.
And it was worth every penny, right?
Fuck 2020. I tell you right now, if 2020 was a person, I would beat the fuck out of them. I'd break all my rules, all my fucking nonviolent training, take them out.
So many rules. You're a man of many rules, Thunder.
We're only a quarter into this shitty year.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up.
Yeah, my connection sucks. Carry on. Obviously, carry on without me. I'm completely unnecessary because you don't need my recording anymore.
We're going to send Cheese a fake link next week. Everybody else is like, the real link. Cheese is sitting there in a Zoom with nobody from 5 to 7. I was kidding about not needing me, guys. Texting us.
Then he listens to the show.
Yeah, let me back in.
Then he listens to the show.
Why'd they change the password?
Hey, can you edit this for us, dude?
Farmer, did you, you've got even more guests the next few weeks. Gives you an excellent opportunity to showcase your interviewing skills. Very excited about this.
Oh, yeah. It is going to be super fun. I've heard a lot of good feedback just in general that people listen to the podcast. They were like, I felt like I was at Bull Portland for a few minutes. So that was great. I heard that a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people are missing it, obviously. Yeah, G-Force was especially, he commented and, you know, it made it feel normal for a little while.
That was our most positively reviewed podcast of all time. I got a text from Putt. No, he's like, thanks for the love and the shout outs. Yeah, no negative, but you get the negative when you walk into Lanes at Tuesday or Thursday night around 8 and people are drunk.
Yeah.
You know what I was just realizing playing with this thing? I bet that I could make a video version of this that only shows my screen and that I was off the screen, so it was just showing the bowling alley. So you like feel like you're actually on the
lane. You're actually there.
I'm not gonna do it right now, but I think I could, and then you could have a video that would just show that.
You should like be bowling off camera so that the ball just comes into frame.
Hungus, how stoned are you?
Free.
We gotta do this like we do this.
Yeah.
Trying something different. I believe this is the Maui Skunk Dog.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow. Where'd you get that?
Wing Knight.
We were down to Gunner's Daughter in Forge, and that was the last of the beer. We'd already killed the growlers at Hungus. Gave us in the better other 6 beers. So Molly goes out and she comes back in and we don't like stouts. And she's like, which do you want, the Forge or the Gunner's Daughter? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going with the Forge. I'm not getting the peanut butter cup. So Molly's like, you motherfucker, you knew how this tasted, didn't you? She just sat on the couch. She's like, this is the worst fucking beer I've ever drank in my life. She was holding her nose and chugging it by the end just to be able to finish it. So, shout out to Mass Landing. No offense, a lot of people like that beer.
They made our Bull Portland beer this year, dude.
Hey, Mass Landing is great. I love Mass Landing. Some people like stouts, some people don't. People that love stouts love Gunner's Daughter.
Yeah, it's a great beer for the stout drinkers, yeah.
So you drank the 10% beer.
Yeah.
Was Forge 10%?
Yeah. Like that, yeah.
Dude, I can't even feel shit on pandemic anymore. Catching a buzz is long gone. I have to take another 5 days off of drinking again.
How'd you do this week?
Oh, no days off. I'm a New England Patriot now.
No days off. That's right.
Now they got a new quarterback. You're going to follow the new mantra.
Worked out every day. Well, now we're fucked. If Trump says the NFL's happening, you know it's not happening. That motherfucker hasn't got anything right. I knew once we got Brady, we were fucked. That guy will never play a down for the Bucks. We got to trade him right now, too. Trade him back to the Pats. Ton of picks. We're not going to have a season anyway. We're fucked.
Think about Tom Clark, all the Milwaukee Bucks fans out there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to win it this year, do you? Do you think they would have gotten through and won it? I think the Lakers were going to
make a lot of noise.
So great. This cost LeBron a title, which is a good thing. Do you see that douche the other day? His tweet was like, thinking about breaking down some of my greatest moments and greatest games. Maybe go Instagram live with it. Just me and all my greatness. Maybe film it for later. Right when the like Jordan one is coming out. It's like, LeBron, you are a tone deaf tool. If you were just humble, you would have been everyone's favorite athlete of all time. My greatest moments.
Troop just texted me his pregame stuff, so he's going to be ready for his interview.
Is he boofing? Boofing a little whiskey, a little moonshine? Isn't that what they got down there in the Carolinas? Moonshine guy myself.
Bathtub gin?
What's your new bowling name?
Probably better than double cheese.
We're bringing back.
I'm glad my internet's working.
What are you bringing back, Hungus?
Like the thin patty double burger. It's coming back, and it actually, so Mike's been doing some stuff, and it's a different, we're getting a meat blend from Pineland Farm, so it's not just ground beef, it's a mix, and it's really good. And,
yeah, gourmet burger. Are they doing like smash burger thin, or what?
They're like just flat top, like a black cow almost, you know.
Ooh, I love black cow.
Oh, the black cow.
But it's doubles, and the mix, it's almost like a Big Mac. And it's good, but like really good, you know.
Is there going to be one called the double cheese?
Double cheddar.
On the gutter.
No.
Yeah, they're calling it double cheddar. They only give it to 300 guys, not dudes that show 300s away on the reg. What do you got? 17 299s?
Yeah, something like that. What a dick. Can someone cut off his mic?
You can put him on hold. You can kick him out.
Yeah, you're on hold.
I mute myself every once in a while.
That's personal.
Wearing a 2019 PBA shirt. Apparently, our 2020 ones are out. But if this event doesn't go down, that'll be pretty. Those will be shipped off somewhere.
Hey, can we buy those on the internet too? Wings@baysidebowl.com. Throw in a couple shirts for $10 here and there. Let's sell these motherfuckers. We'll buy them fucking shits.
Yeah. We can make that happen.
Grab bag t-shirt. I like that. That's weird.
And call the front desk.
That's going to be the shirt.
It was a great thing this week where I think it was Lala created a fake like Bull Portland magazine cover that I don't know where she posted that. Where did you see it, Thunder?
She posted it to Doc Moose's Facebook page and then tagged like 100 Bull Portlanders. So it'll show up in your feed, shows up on his page with her name and his name next to it. But then by tagging everybody else, it shows up in your feed. So she posted to Facebook and wow. So the genesis of this is this week, Lala went out on Facebook and she's like, I'm missing Bull Portland a ton. Show me your old bowling ball pictures, whatever year. So her comment section got just flooded with pictures of everybody from past bowling balls, all the different costumes and stuff, which was really cool. And so that one of Doc Moose standing at the bar where he had that like purple wig on that went down to his like ass and
kind of like a biker outfit with long,
but it was all like all purple, everything purple, shades on, and just leaning against the bar. Yeah, and she made it the cover of like some fake Bull Portland Weekly magazine, and she texted a few of us and asked for like, you know, headlines. So me, Bull Murray, Cheese was late to the party, just texting.
I was just appreciating. I wasn't contributing. I was working.
So that was the genesis of it, and then she posted it to his page. I think he just had his birthday or something like that, and that's why she did it. But this might be a weekly thing. Magic in his bunny suit is looking like it's going to be the cover for week two. So I Farmer, when this happens, I told her you had some great headlines too. So we'll get you on a text thread. This was done over Facebook Messenger, but that was a lot of fun. When I first saw it, I was like, ah, fuck that. I was like, oh, what am I going to do? Work? So I started sending stuff to her right and left. That was fun.
Magic showed up on Thursday, wing night. It was his birthday. He came in, not birthday. It was his 1 year, but he was wearing his full on Leisure Rolls outfit. It was like,
awesome.
He was ready.
Dude, props to Magic on that. Just had, like you said, 1 year of sobriety. That's not easy to do. Magic's a force in this league and always has been, and he's always there. He comes on the nights when he doesn't bowl, and he fucking has been hanging out doing that over – because he never takes the season off, right? He does Casco Bay, does draft. I think he probably does that nerd bowling league, 3-on-3.
He's got 24 Casco Bay titles.
Just come at the bar, and, like, his vibe hasn't changed at all. Just not drinking. I don't drink anymore. It's just, you know, I don't – judge anybody that doesn't, I'm still here to have fun.
Yeah, he hasn't changed.
Kick ass, man. Like I said, I did 5 days. I came roaring off. I probably drank more in the last 2 weeks than I have in my entire life. And that's saying a shit ton. I don't remember college at all due to blacking out on this.
Oh, Tim. Coming in. You guys ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
All right.
Tim.
Timmy.
Can you hear us, Tim? He's connecting audio.
Timmy, can you hear us?
Can you hear me? I can hear you guys.
Nice.
Welcome.
TV Timmy.
Dude, what's going on? I'm in my basement. You guys want some bowling balls?
The basement Timmy?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I do 15 pounds, Tim. 15 pounder.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
With the free time, guys, we got some chance to I don't know. Trying to clean some things up here, as you can see.
look at that. Wearing a Lumberjacks hat.
Goddamn right.
Got to get some championship gear.
Yeah, I got the championship hat up in the up in the cabinet where my trophies are.
Nice.
I'm gonna take you up there and show you the importance of how much the Lumberjack win and everything means. So I'm walking up.
Dude, this
now.
Can be like a Cribs by Tim Mack. Let's do the whole house, dude. After we get to the trophy, let's make this a Cribs. We can interview you while you take us on the tour.
Tell us where you are. Tim, where are you? Where do you live?
I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana right now.
Great city.
That's my daughter. That's what she does every day. Lana,
welcome
wave.
To the podcast.
Nice.
Lana, wave.
Hey.
And here's my little trophy room here where I spend most of my time.
Little.
Yeah. But as you can see, in one of the most coveted
nice
spots lies the champion hat.
Nice.
With the sticker on it. It doesn't go anywhere.
Right on there.
That's awesome.
It usually stays up there. But yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting back and seeing you guys. Coming back and getting out there and spending some time, and where actually the air is clean. And you know, the people are cool, and we need it right now. Actually, we need the BOPO people more now than ever. That's for sure.
That's been something helping us up here. Like you said, there's fresh air up here. You know what I mean? It's Maine. That's been a good thing. That's kind of helping us get through the pandemic. You can still get outside and walk,
and
be in the country and stuff like that. So I definitely hear you with that. I walked around in my backyard last night. It was just crazy how silent it is. Saturday night, usually there's weddings at this farm a couple blocks down, or traffic going by, and it was just nothing. It was like 11 at night, and you could just hear the animals. It's like, it's kind of soothing.
Yeah, I could use that right now, since I've been in the house every day since March 16, since I got home from the World Series. It's been, you know, we get too many people walking around down here. My wife, I don't know if you guys know or not, my wife's a medical ICU nurse, and she's on the front lines of all this. So it's, you know, and it's incredibly, incredibly dangerous for her, and obviously sad. But, man, it's way worse when you've got inside information like I have from, you know, what's going on a day-to-day basis in the hospitals. You can't believe it. So the best thing we can do is, like what we're doing right now, you know what, guys? I mean, you know, staying away from people, and hopefully in a couple months this thing will subside. But I'm confident that Bowling's gonna come out on the other side of this in a good spot, in a good area, in a good place. I think it's listen. I don't think a lot of people are gonna have a lot of extra money to spend to go on vacation.
Yeah.
You know what? They're going to have some extra money, though, to take after being in cabin fever for quite some time. They're going to have some extra money to go bowling at Bayside, we'll see how it goes.
And what was it like that last week out at World Series of Bowling? I mean, when bowling was like the last thing still going, all the other sports had closed down. Was that just all anyone was talking about every night? I mean, you were right there right until the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really, really eerie is probably the word I would use, because, you know, South Point's a property that's always busy no matter what time of the year it is. And, you know, they've got rodeos coming in all the time. And listen, maybe and there were still plenty of people there from the early in the week from the rodeos. But I don't know if they have the internet or TV or not wherever they're at. But, they came out, but then as the week went on, and then the sporting world started to, you know, draw back, and the NCAA tournament and the NBA, people really started to get concerned. And, you know, it was weird being in a town that never sleeps, that was, you know, each day that went by, it started to look more like a ghost town.
Yeah.
And,
I can't imagine what Vegas would look like as a ghost town.
It was weird, guys. It was weird. I've been going there since 1994, and I've never, never seen it like this in my life. And, you know, I was there just before they shut it down. I left on Sunday, the night the show finished, and there was nobody at the airport. I mean, it was really weird. You know, when you're leaving Vegas and you're walking out, you know, you can look down and usually see all the people coming in at all the bag, you know, the bag terminal places there. There wasn't one person downstairs, not one.
Wow.
Not one flying in, not one. So to
well, say, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was a good thing. But to say it was a surreal experience and eerie, guys. Eerie is the word I like to use. And then the TV show was a whole different experience in itself. I mean, it, arguably that's our biggest event on the PBA Tour, you know, throughout the entire year as far as money and players and what they do. And with no ambiance, no crowd, you know, it was odd.
Yeah.
And yet Thelmo's family was there, right? And that was the first time they ever seen him win.
Yeah. You know, Jason's family came over. Obviously they didn't anticipate that this pandemic was going to shape out the way it shaped out. I don't think anybody did. And, unfortunately, they had actually a vacation scheduled to Chicago afterwards, and they went to Chicago. They actually went to Chicago for a couple of days afterwards, which I couldn't believe. But then I think the severity really started to hit that week of the 16th to the 25th, where, you know, states started shutting down, and you know, people realized this is way worse than, you know, than we think. We need to take the protective measures here to protect the people and protect our country.
So Tim, I don't want to like leave the topic of your wife. I mean, how is she doing? Like, does she work every day? How's it going?
I've got no problem talking about it.
Thank you to her too. I mean, the people on the front lines of this, that's the scary stuff. I mean, we just have to stay at home. There's people out there risking their lives to save people's lives, and they're being infected by this stuff. I mean, so
that's you right. know,
appreciate that's what your wife's doing.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the sentiments and the kind words. Listen, it's extremely difficult. I'm not going to lie. You know, I don't think there's many healthcare facilities across the country right now that aren't dealing with the COVID situation or having people tested for it or having people that are on ventilators or what have you. And, you know, my wife's unit is, you know, going through all the same issues that I'm sure a lot of other units across the country are going through. And it's, you know, it's incredibly dangerous at the moment. And listen, you know, it's hard for me. You know, usually I get to sleep pretty, you know, usually pretty early at night unless I'm in Vegas. But, you know, and I'm up early in the morning, but I haven't been able to sleep too well just because, you know, you're worried. And then I have some lingering, I had childhood asthma, and it's come back as I've become an adult. So, you know, my daughter has exercise-induced asthma, so we really can't afford to get any kind of, you know, problems with it. And, you know, I think it's just health professionals across the country. You know, this is a, that stimulus package, man, they should have raised all the health. They should have immediately just doubled everybody's health pay immediately for what they're having to go through and what they're going to have to go through for quite some time. When we get back to some normalcy here, you know, the healthcare professionals are still going to have to be fighting this battle and fight. And it's not going to stop. I would anticipate it goes well into August, September for their battle. Now, yep. Our battle, you know, it's different. But, you know, I referenced something the other day when someone asked me the other day. I got interviewed by a newspaper. I said, you know, everybody has cabin fever and everybody's getting crazy. Just think about Anne Frank, 754 days in a 450-square-foot spot for 2 years, basically. You know, talk about cabin fever. And no computers, no cell phones, no things what we're doing.
And that was life or death. That was like a life or death situation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's crazy. So. You know, it's really not that bad, guys, when we think about it for us at home. You know, I actually think it's a good time where we can maybe reconnect and reconnect with some friends and spend some time and tell people how much you care about them and, you know, tell people how much they mean to you. And because this thing has struck home. I mean, I've lost a couple friends. I've lost some bowling colleagues. It's been tough.
Now, are you and your wife having to stay apart in your own home? Is she staying away from you and your daughter, or? It's kind of all going to get it. That's kind of how my family's operating. We're still hugging each other and stuff with me, my wife, and my kids. I mean,
we're all
in this together.
Yeah, great question. But she, you know, we've stayed away from more like facial contact. You know, I kind of give her a side hug type deal. But my wife, we came up with a plan where because she's in the front lines at the medical ICU and there's a lot of people, you know, that obviously are – you know, have it and she's dealing with, showers totally there, changes all her clothes before she leaves the building. gets all of her medical clothes and all of her shoes and everything off when she comes home. Jacket stays in the garage overnight. Shoes stay in the garage overnight. No one's allowed in the garage. You know, we've had to take some different measures, you know. And because of that, I'm not allowed to go grocery shopping. The only thing we decided I would do because of, you know, just in case of my situation, is drive through at CVS just to get my medication. Drive through. I think I went to the bank once. However, that'll stop as well. So you got to take precautionary measures just because, you know, listen, I mean, this is something we've never seen before. I mean, you guys are pretty smart up there and, you know, pretty adverse in a lot of situations. And I don't know if you guys, can you guys recall anything like this, even in the history of our country, you know, from our grandfathers?
We've experienced.
No,
you know, it's 2020. I never thought we'd experience anything like this in our lifetime. You know, I have 14-year-old twins, and I can't believe that, like, they're living in a world like this right now. You know, we've been home for 3 weeks. School's been down for 3 weeks. Sports are on hold. It's a lot of, like, and this is just local shit in your house. Like, the greater good is what it's about. And like I said, there's a lot of people that have to go to work every day, and they're fighting for us. Right. But like, this disruption is affecting like everyone, and you like, never even saw it coming. Like, I wouldn't have ever been like, okay, my daughter and son aren't going to play ultimate frisbee or baseball this year. That season's just gone. So yeah, never thought this would happen.
Yeah. I heard the same great thing this week though, that said that you are not stuck at home. So don't feel like you're stuck at home, because you are safe at home. And I just wish, like, when that one really resonated with me, because when I heard that, I was like, that makes perfect sense. This is a good thing to be where I am and staying where I am. Like, right. It was very impactful, and I just loved it. You know, that none of us are really stuck. We're actually safe where we are.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I haven't been home, you know, after this thing is over. This will be the longest amount of period of time I've been home in my daughter's probably almost her entire life, other than when I had surgery on my leg, but I couldn't move around. So, you know, you got to take advantage of situations like this, take advantage of, you know, times like this, like you said. And you know, the funny thing is, guys, you know, in December, I had traveled to Korea, South Korea. Didn't hear anything about nothing about the virus, you know. In all of from January 6th to January 21st, I was in Europe. I was in Finland, England, Ireland, and the Netherlands. Nothing about the virus. Nothing. I saw a couple things on the news. Ah, it's always in Wuhan. It's over there. It's not going to come here. You know, we're immune to it. And then boom, boom. And I mean, big boom. So
yeah,
it's great. It's crazy, but it's also, you know, I think it's a time for reflection, you know, time for, you know, like you said, you know, spend some quality time at your house with, you know, with your family and your loved ones, and, do some fun things that maybe you thought you would never get a chance to do.
Yeah, it's brought everyone in this house closer. Like, I usually get home, and my wife's a school teacher, so she prepares dinner before I even get there. Now I'm helping prepare dinner, dicing up fucking shit. I never done that shit in my life, man. Yeah. It's just bringing us closer together, and it's making me be like, understanding, like, wow, you sacrifice a lot for our family, and you do a lot, and it's making me like do more. It's making me a better man. I mean, like Farmer said, take the silver linings and the blessings out of this,
sure.
You know, especially in our situation where we just have to stay at home. That's not that hard. I hate it, but it's not that hard when people are going out there and putting their lives on the line, and it's a life or death situation. I can stay at home. And I actually way more than I thought I was, which I'm blown away by. Yeah, I don't have to jet once the kid go to college. I don't have to leave Molly. It's huge.
Yeah. My I have a son home from college, right? So these are days that I would never get with him ever without this. So yeah, we dinner together every night, and it's awesome. And it's something. And you definitely figure out what's important maybe when you break it down to the basics like this.
Yeah. If I'm Charlie right now, I'm sitting out by the lake, casting some cast out there, getting ready to, you know, putting a fire out there, and enjoying my time out by the water.
Yeah, when you get back up here, I've expanded the yards. I just often I'm raking the forest as I don't have a lot going on out there.
Can't wait for it. That's going to be, just so you know, as long as we continue to have the PBA League for the rest of our lives for the next 45 years at Bayside, That will be our new preparation. Coming out there, fire, little fishing, little food. That's the key right there, brother. And let's see if I can not get pulled over by the police
that's
this time
how you
on the
win
way
titles,
back.
Timmy.
What's that?
That's how you win titles, baby. Little fishing.
Damn right, man. Damn right. Whatever really, it takes, man.
A great picture that, like, I'm sure Wes is going to appreciate when he's older. Kayleen got an awesome – is at that party before the league. And, you know, it's pretty cool for Wes to get to meet all you guys and just have you all at his house. But there's a picture of him at the ice cream shop with a great sunset. And it's, I think it's Hoopé and Troop and Prather. And he's just, like, hanging out with those three guys, getting ice cream, looking ridiculous.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, we're looking forward. I know we're looking forward to. Hey, I don't know if you guys have heard anything on date-wise, you know, and time-wise, if we're still on for coming up. You know, I'm assuming, you know, that'll be a little closer to when we're probably, you know, starting to get back to some normalcy. I'm hopeful in July. You know,
we're hopeful.
We're not scientists, you know, but it seems like it's right on the edge of what's possible. I mean, that would be a pretty neat way back. Although I'm sure it'd be a little different. People aren't going to be super eager to be too tight, but I mean, maybe by July we're able to, like, just, you know, the BOPO crowd's going to be all ready to go.
We'll figure out the way. Yeah,
BOPO crowd's having a tough time, man. We're chomping at the bit to you know, get back to any kind of bowling action.
Yeah, we got suspended. You know, there's 3 weeks left in our regular season. We just suspended for now.
But yeah,
the way I'm imagining it, in my dream scenario, we have the bowling ball the night before you guys get into town, so the pros who come a day early can come watch our finals.
Hey, listen, it's shaping up to be where the schedule might play out that way, Charlie. Yeah. I mean,
very realistic.
You know, it's actually more of a, you know, closer opportunity for that to happen than not happen. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's reality. You know, with everything else getting canceled, you know, by the wayside, you know, there's a good chance that might happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm up.
Tim, tell us more about the Lumberjacks' decision. So about who you kept, and
sure.
And what do you think about that draft?
Listen, it was. I make no mistake about it. It was an incredibly difficult decision.
I bet.
Because we've got. You know, we had five guys that really clicked on, you know, clicked well and worked well together. You know, I'm a proponent, and I even tried to sell Tom Clark on this. I feel like if you win the league, you should be able to keep your team for one calendar year more. You know, just to try to defend that title. I don't, you know, I think.
We do that in our pro-am.
Yeah, I want to do that in draft league.
Yeah.
I listen, when you couple the fact of how good the Lumberjack team is performing on the PBA Tour right now, well, we've got five guys that are all in the top 24. I mean, think about that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, listen, it was incredibly difficult to put Ryan back in the, you know, because he's been there from the get-go. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we can work some draft magic and you know, Ryan beats his own drum. He's a very, very strong-minded, strong-willed individual, and that's why he's actually fit well for us at the Lumberjacks, because you know, he's thrown some giant shots in the history of our team.
Yeah.
You know, again last year, if he doesn't strike after Norm strikes, you know, we don't have that hat that I just showed you. So, and then. You know, 2 years before that, when he struck to take us to the final,
Walk-off. Which
is arguably one of the most exciting times in bowling.
Yeah, that's the best.
Simonelli has thrown the biggest shots in the history of the Lumberjacks out of all of them, even more so than Malott, because his were absolute have to have a strike,
clutch
as hell. Even if he wasn't going well on the tour, he would crush it in that league.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree. I think he feels comfortable in that building, and you know, without trying to give any more information to other teams, you know. He's obviously a great, 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 great bowler. But, you know, Kyle Troop's got two titles this year. He's bowling unbelievable. Wes Malott's bowled really good this year as well. And he's our MVP from, you know, he's been our franchise player. And, you know, the Chris Prather, I mean, what more can you say? You know, what more can you say?
You know, we talked about this last week on our podcast, and we agreed with it because Wes is a big-time player. Prather's the hottest guy in the world, and Troop's hot. I mean, you had a really tough decision. I agree with the decisions you made.
Not only that, guys, you know, I feel incredibly connected to my guys, to the team, and invested personally into it. So, and let's not forget about Hoppe here, guys. He's bowled really well this year, and then eventually bowled as well. Yeah. Hoppe, there it is stepped up to the plate with, you know, so he's bowled well as well. So we had five guys that made it was a very difficult decision. But I think all of us are on the same page on trying to figure out a way to maneuver in the draft and figure out a way if we can land one or two of those guys back on the team and then, you know, just kind of get a feel out process. We're in a good position in drafts 13 and 14, the spots, because it's a snake draft. So we're actually in a really good position where we can have a little bit of leverage, you know, if in fact Simonelli gets picked or a guy that we're looking at gets picked early, you know, I'll discuss it with Charlie like we've done every year and our team, you know, every year at this time. And Charlie, you can vouch for it. I message you and we talk The reason one of the most, you know, the league is, you know, still going or actually took off is because of you guys, because of BOPO, because of Portland, Maine, and Charlie and what the fans and the people want there are vitally important on how we, you know, construct the Lumberjacks on, you know, what we want to do to try to win. You know, there's only one time we've only lost one time in the first round, and that was, you know, not last year, the year before. It's the only time we've ever lost in the first round. Every other year we've been to the finals two of the last 3 years, you know, which is hard. It's hard, guys. That event is hard. You know, so many things got to go into play. Your guys got to be clicking on all cylinders. They got to be throwing shots. They got to be playing the lanes the right way. You got to get a little luck. I mean, Jesper Svensson wrapping the 3-7. Come on, guys. Yeah. You know, you got to get a little luck. You know, Jesper Svensson getting 8. How about that? So think about the scenarios that have transpired. And then, yeah, in the final last year, we made some lane strategy play where and everybody thought I was a raving lunatic going into the last game when I changed the lineup. Right. So those are all managerial and team decisions that, you know, we're going through the process the whole time. So it's a fun time, but it's also for me, it's stressful because, you know, I barely make any money out of the deal. For me, it's about pride and heart and winning for the team, you know, and, you know, we get a small fee to be part of it, and being part of this league is something special. It's special. It's special to be a league manager. For me personally, you know, no matter what happens for the rest of my life, 2019, you know, the hometown team, Portland Lumberjacks, brought home a title, you know, to this prestigious Elias Cup, because it's prestigious. You know, it's people want to bowl in the league. Everybody around the world, oh, the league, they talk about it. They talk about Portland, Maine. They talk about Portland crowd. They talk about you guys and how special that environment is. And that's really a testament to all the guys I'm talking to on the camera here, and obviously Charlie's vision of putting this whole thing together. Man, I mean, when you think about things, you know, as I get older, I start to, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm cleaning my basement downstairs and finding stuff and going through stuff. And you're like, you realize how special some moments are. That 2019 moment, I'll take forever with me. It was, you know, but with that in mind, I'm hungry to win again this year. You know, I'm hungry to try to defend that title and try to, you know, get back to the final for the third time in the last, you know, in the last 4 years. It's a difficult task. Two new teams coming in. How's it going to play out? I don't know, fellas. I don't know. Yeah. But that's why we play the game.
2019 was, to me, the first year that, like, we wanted the title. We kind of played it down the middle and cheered for all the teams before last year. And then, like, really wanted to win it all. And it's funny you say that because when Dick Allen was leaving, he came up to me and goes, you finally got what you wanted, dickhead. I'm like, yeah, actually, this year we did want it. These guys should have a hometown advantage, and this year we're going to give it to them. We're not going to cheer against you, but we're going to cheer harder for the Lumberjacks than we ever did. Like, this year, I feel like we were like, okay, fuck it. I don't go to a Tampa Bay Buccaneers game and cheer for both teams. Hey, go Falcons.
Yeah, you're right.
Go Falcons. Hey, nice catch. Kill Julio Jones. I'm a Bucs fan. Kill that dude. Yes, that was awesome. Like, we wanted that title this year, and you guys went out and won it, and that was so freaking cool. Back-to-back is going to be great, too, because this year we're showing no mercy. We're not even cheering for the other teams. Just Lumberjacks. Booing them, egging them. No more. This is a home field advantage for now on. Come into our house.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point. You know, after we won that event, you know, I played college football at Penn State and have been in some crazy environments and played, you know, when we're out of the stadium in front of 100,000 people. But when we won that event and the crowd jumped in on the floor, we were celebrating and everybody's jumping up and down. And that's as great of an environment as I've ever been a part of. You know, it was no different than when like they win the NBA championship or when, you know, they win the college football national championship or the Super Bowl. These cameras are everywhere. You know, obviously we're live on Fox and that environment. So, you know, I got to tip my cap to you guys and for creating that for us and making that happen. Man, it was just something special that I'll never forget.
Tim, what do you think of this format? Were they the two divisions and whatnot? I mean, it's got to be for good TV. I mean, those one game matches and everybody gets some TV, but.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to create even more luck than it did last time now, right? I mean,
right.
But what it does do is it emphasizes that qualifying tournament a lot more.
It makes that huge.
It makes it gigantic.
There's always been a seeding tournament before league play, but nobody really cares because if you finish 1 or 8, you're still in the quarterfinals. But this year they'll be doing that seeding tournament with its round robin. And the top, they're going to divide into 2 5-team divisions. And the top 2 in each division get a bye to the quarters, but the bottom 3 are playing in like some sort of ladder show right off the bat. So
yeah, it's only one game. It's not a one game from what I understand.
Like food in if you don't get top 2. So it'll make that round robin day pretty intense. There's a lot to play.
Sounds like draft league, dude.
But wait a second. So does that mean that a couple, like a bunch of pros, I'll say like 4 teams worth, are going to come in both 2 frames and they're out?
Yes. I'm about to let Kyle join in.
Oh. All right. Let's not let that happen, boys. Come on now.
Troop, there it is.
Oh, shit. Uh-oh. Is it possible?
Yeah.
Connecting to audio.
Hold on. He's still connecting to audio, but I have a fantastic intro. Joining us on the Sponsored by Zoom Bayside Wings Hotline, email wings@bayside.bullportland.com, maybe on the website, to be determined. If you want wings, call the front desk hotline from North Carolina. He's won twice this year. That's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Joining us now is Kyle Troop. How you doing, Kyle?
What's up, guys? Glad to be here with you guys.
So where, where are you? Just at home?
I'm in lovely Taylorsville, North Carolina.
Taylorsville.
Yep. Oh, look at that fro.
Yeah, bro. There's a lot of quarantine. Records,
yeah.
I've been wearing a hat all day, so.
Jeez, you're like almost as large a fro as Kyle, which is pretty damn impressive.
No.
Well, now, because Kyle's matted down. Kyle's like at minimum.
Really aspirational.
Escafros.
Kyle, who you
with? What's up?
Who you got there in Taylorsville?
I'm living at home right now, so the Gubster's in the living room. Tyler's making pizzas right now at work.
The 3 of you dudes.
Yep, just chilling. Cheers. I felt it was only right to have a beer
Cheers.
With me during
this
podcast, right?
Yeah. We are. I don't know.
All right.
We're just catching up with him about everything. Also, just you were there too, man. I was asking him. I was just blown away that.
Oh my God, it's Timmy Mac. What? Oh.
Yeah, just man. Like what you think about that, boss?
What's up, Timmy Tom?
Hey, let me go in. Let me go in and get my beer. Hold on a second.
What's great?
Got your hat on? Hey, where's your hat?
We've been doing cribs with Tim Mac.
Yeah, Tim.
I'll show you where my hat. I'll show you where my hat is, Kyle. Just, right, I get on me on the camera. It's right here, boss.
It's a place of honor.
Yeah.
On the trophy.
Where the USBC Hall of Fame stuff is, where the hat deserves to be.
Oh, that is sick.
Yeah.
Man.
It's in the trophy case, brother.
Missing Bayside a lot.
So, Tim, how does a football player from Penn State go to the PBA? Like, how you go from playing from, like, Joe Paterno to, like, being on tour and bowling? Like, that's – who's question. Done that?
Well, it's a crazy –
I mean, I know T.O.'s been trying to do it, but he ain't doing it.
No. It's a crazy story, but I don't quite have T.O.'s professional football bowling record either.
No, that's true.
Then again, he hasn't won 70 events in 40 different countries either, so – Where are you on that?
How'd you make that transition?
Well, you know, coming out of college, I had a scholarship offers to play college football in Division II and Division III schools, and I had a scholarship offers to play baseball as well. But I decided I followed my high school girlfriend to college, and she went to Penn State, and I always loved Penn State as well. And I went and bowled for the university, and then after a couple of years, I really missed football. Became really good friends with some guys on the team through classes. Started working out, started training, and walked on to the football team, and ended up walking on. Got cut the first year, came back, made the spring squad, got cut again after the spring ball, then came back and made it. Played 3 years after that.
That's amazing.
That's like only what Timmy Mack would do.
Yeah, and then after
that's perseverance, man.
Yeah, I just never quit, never die. I've lived my life where if someone says I can't do something, I'm going to try to prove them wrong and say I can do it. And, I use those types of things as motivating factors for myself. And, you know, after I got out of college, I started bowling some local tournaments here locally, and I was still training to go back to graduate school and do some more things, in football. And, unfortunately it just didn't work out for me, but, I started bowling some local tournaments and started winning some tournaments, and I even got a job. I remember the company was called the Consortium, and I was like, this 8-to-5 crap, this shit ain't for me, man. So sorry. So I started bowling more, and I started bowling mega bucks, and I started having some success, and then lo and behold, I went to Las Vegas and bowled a couple of the mega bucks, and started bowling world team challenges, made a couple TV shows, and you know, it kind of morphed into its own animal. Robert Smith, who's one of my best friends in my life, asked me to come on a trip with him to an overseas trip. And I took that trip to Singapore in 1996, March of 96, when I was 23 years old. And it changed my life. And bowling, I saw bowling in a whole different light. People treated us like people treated us here when I played football at Penn State. You know, if I tell people I played football at Penn State, I get a massive amount of respect in general from the sports world, you know, that I played for Joe Paterno. The same people that I tell them I bowl for a living, you know, will go, bowling, you can make a living at it? Meanwhile, I'm sitting in 2B. All right, you can make a living at it? You know, you're in 2C, I'm in 2B. I'm here because the pilot bowls on a Tuesday night league, and he fell back.
That was my brother.
You know, so – you know, I fought that a lot in my career, but, you know, bowling has given me stuff that I never thought I'd ever have in my whole life. And I'm glad it's gone this way. And, you know, I have my wife, my daughter, all because of bowling. You know, I've seen 99.9% of the world that most people won't see in their entire lifetimes. You know, I've had the opportunity to bowl in front of kings and crown princes of countries and
unreal.
And and be the manager of the Portland Lumberjacks. So how about that?
How old were you? How old were you when you started bowling?
I started when I was young. I started when I was two. I pushed the ball down the lane with two hands. Wow. But I started bowling in a league. I think it was 5 or 6 years old. I actually have my first ball still. I just put it in storage. I just actually found it. I have my first bowling ball still. So
wow, that's awesome.
Six pound LT 48 Black Beauty.
Wow.
Have it. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's got my little three fingers in it. So, Timmy on. I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to you, Minnow. You're going to like it.
Perfect.
But, yeah, bowling's been really good to me, guys. It's, you know, so that's why I feel like I want to give my heart and soul and do it as much as I can, because it's, you know, it's giving me the roof over my head. It's, you know, we're a resilient bunch of people that are in bowling. We are. And that's why I know that we're going to come out ahead on this whole thing. I really believe it in my heart. We're a resilient group, and we're going to forge forward here, moving forward. I just believe it in my heart. I know it's going to take some time, but I'm going to tackle this like I tackled playing football or when someone says I can't do something, I'm going to show you, hey, I can do it. And
or the multiple knee surgeries you've overcome, like, yeah.
Seven knee surgeries on my slide leg. And don't you know this year, guys, guess who I got? I bowled my first PBA tournament since I was at Bayside.
Duke?
Since I was at Bayside, my first PBA tournament.
Oh, wow.
And I bowled the PBA doubles, but I couldn't practice at all. But I bowled the PBA doubles, and guess who I got to cross with?
The
one
team.
And only Kyle Stroop, and Jesper Svensson, baby. There
you go. Yeah, we had fun on that cross.
And I guess who won the tournament? Kyle Troop and Jesper Svensson. Ship that, baby. Ship the big C, bro. So,
that's awesome.
Ship the C.
We got to bring in a guest here.
Yeah, we do. You know, joining us on the Bayside Wings, sponsored by Zoom Hotline. There's lots of ways you might be able to get these wings. Call the frontdesk.com hotline. Someone else
Bayside Bowl on Twitter
is paid for by bowling. He is known locally as the Donut King. He is known for bonding with the locals, Norm Duke. Norm, how you doing?
Duke.
I'm doing awesome. Nice to see Timmy Mac and Kyle Troop on the show as well.
Normie, baby.
How you doing? Are you in Florida?
I am in Florida.
What's your situation right now?
I'm in lockdown. They started social distancing 2 days ago.
Yeah, I've been the laziest bum on the face of the earth.
Oh no, Thunder's been here too. Yeah.
Hey Norm, look at my hat.
Oh, yes. Oh,
hold on, just
hey, hey Norm. Norm
did Norm something get not picked up by his team too?
Normie's coming up with something here, guys.
Norm cut himself.
He didn't pick himself up.
My hat's better than your hat.
They got well, 300 that year. 300 that year.
Touché.
Norm,
hey,
got
there's three years on here. That's all I'm saying. Trump you.
Okay.
So far.
Hold on a second,
Norm, what does it look like in Florida these days?
Just hold on a second, Norman.
So just for the record, Norm pulled out his Elias Cup championship hat from 2 years ago, or maybe well, three. I don't know when.
Now, Timmy, this out the trophy case.
This Norman. Hat had 16 and 17 on it, so it's like a dual show hat.
Oh, back to the back.
Norman, you see that date?
Yeah, that's like defending champion, I think, is what that is.
Well, if July just gets canceled, we have it for 2 years, I guess.
All right.
For all of you joining us, if you ask us at the start of the year what would be the highlight of your whole year going forward, the three of us would probably say, to win the league, no doubt.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So when we win it, we have to flaunt the hardware.
I love it, Norman. And it's cool that the Lumberjacks had to get by Dallas, honestly, in a three-bowler bowl-off. I mean, that's the way. If you got to get to a title, you got to get through Dallas.
I'm sorry. Can you introduce yourself? I don't know you.
You're right, Charlie. They've been our nemesis.
Just killed Hungus.
That's a shot.
We haven't been able to get over the hump with Norm, and the fact that we were able to sneak by Norm in that three ball roll off was that was something special. Something special.
Oh. Normie, how much are you working out right now?
I haven't touched anything since Las Vegas, and you know what? I've been there.
Been there, bro.
He just killed Hungus in a drive-by, though. Yeah. Holy hell.
Hey, Norm, this is the longest you've gone without bowling in how long?
Well, at least 4 or 5 months. I usually take 2 months off at the end of the year, and I did. Yeah. So we just got started. We were 3 months in when this hiatus is. I guess we're about 6 weeks in it, so I've got some time to go before it's my record. But, yeah, we're getting antsy around here. That's all I know.
Norman, are golf courses open down by you? Can you get outside? Can you do anything, or are you shut down in Florida?
No, no. They encourage us to go golfing.
Oh, yeah.
The only problem is I stink at it. So I kind of lost a little of that golfing luster, you know? I'm hitting it everywhere.
Yeah, how am I doing? I've got a golfer's tan by April.
I thought all you guys had lanes in your houses.
Buddy, we
bowl
for
real life.
Yeah. I would more likely have a putting green outside than I would a bowling lane in my house.
Don't bring your work home with you.
Yeah, right. We want a pro-am in my basement, please.
Dude, we're in. Okay, we're in. All right.
Okay, we're in, yeah.
Yep, me, you, Hungus, Farmer, and Cheese. Yep, we
well,
got
I'm
going
to be the anchor man. I know that.
Oh, yes.
The winning squad. Oh, yeah. See that?
Bring it on.
Well, I mean, it's his basement lanes.
Hey, have you, yeah. Any of you guys made any crazy quarantine purchases, like been like cooped up? So you're like, I got to do something. So like, I'm going to get a new hobby. I'm going to do a big home project.
I went and got some more CBD oil for my shoulder and knee.
Yeah, me sure. Too.
He's trying.
We all, we
it
all
works, doesn't it?
CBD doses.
I'm taking mine without the THC. I'm scared because, you know me, I'm finicky about that stuff. But, man, it's allowed me to do stuff that I didn't think were possible. Jesus, I could bowl and, man, without it, I would have never been able to bowl with Kyle and Jesper a couple of months ago when they won. But it gives me some newfound hope, puts a little light at the end of the tunnel.
Would have been a pretty great 80s sports drama if you were coaching Kyle and there was just a dramatic moment talking to Kyle about, you could be great, Kyle. That's that THC, Kyle.
Go to the CBD only.
Where's it?
Coach.
Need some CBD gummies in.
This is your brain on drugs.
Cracking an egg.
It would be a good show. I'd watch, man.
Yeah. I got to motivate Kyle in some ways.
Yeah, you got my back.
All day and twice on Sundays.
Kyle, what do you ask when you go back and talk to a coach there and when you're in the middle of a match?
You say, where's your CBD? Yeah.
Well, I mean, normally me and Timmy are talking about the peach, you know, a peach that we see. We have some great conversations, man. The last thing we're talking about is bowling half the time.
Kyle, grab some water, dude.
Yeah, our conversations are actually.
We don't edit, boys. Just so you know, I don't know if Hungus told you that or not.
I'm the PBA's most eligible bachelor still.
There you go.
Got that title. So.
Well, wait. When you won a title on TV, you blew a kiss to the camera. Tell us about that. Who were you blowing a kiss to?
Probably about 10 or 15 different people.
was Space Farmer one of them?
No, don't. Double cheese was.
Yes.
But, I mean, that was a kiss to my mother first. She was the first recipient to the kiss on TV.
Good answer.
Yeah. And then
condolences for that. How is everybody doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well, man. It's it was a tough time, but I've learned a lot from it. I myself have a little bit different outlook on life. I grew up real fast when I came home for that week. Whenever I miss that tournament and just really makes me appreciate life more. It's I've been saying for a while, it's a great day to be alive. And, my mom was such a people person and made so many people smile. And I never realized that till after she passed, the numerous amount of texts and posts and the amount of people that came to the funeral just really made me realize how much of a special person she was. And motivates me to just try and be even more of a people person and bring more smiles to people's faces and be the best that I could be. That was one of the last things she said to me, and we're going to do that. And by me doing that, we're going to drag along Guppy and Tyler too, and we're going to take it to the top.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. How is your dad doing?
He's good. He's old as dirt, but got him out on the golf course last week. I haven't gotten to swing the clubs yet. He just rode along in the cart, but that's a start.
Did he have a cocktail in the cart, I hope?
Oh, of course. Crown and water.
Okay. Crown and water.
Yeah, what's Gubby doing right now? Is he watching TV? Is he going to come in and make a cameo?
Hang on. I'll just take the laptop into the other room. So
All right.
Let's do that.
And well, Norm, Tim, Norm.
Did like a Cribs episode earlier.
Cribs. Hey, Norm, what is, we're doing Cribs. Yeah. Norm, you're next, hey, Norm, for Cribs, dude.
I want to know
my
what Norm.
My first shot of Crown Royal ever was with Guppy.
Nice.
Oh, what is your cocktail?
How old were you, 16?
Norm, what is your cocktail of quarantine?
Crown Royal, because of Guppy.
If I don't have headphones on, will it still be okay for the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
You guys stay safe, will you?
We'll bring you
some. Sleeping, yeah. She's... Hey, Kathy, how you doing? Hey, Kathy, all right.
There's Gup. Playing his iPad.
Hey,
playing
Gup,
this is the best day of my life. I swear to God.
Guppy Troop on the podcast.
Yes, oh, the mask.
Let me cut these headphones off.
All right, I'll tell him.
We're done with you.
There we go.
There we go. I think we can hear you, Kyle.
Yeah, we should be good now.
Guppy, oh, yeah. What's up?
All right. Gup, we've
Hey, Guppy, when you are you looking forward to a trip back to Portland?
No, I am. I'm waiting for the first time we're welcome back there again.
Yeah. First time you're welcome back?
Yeah.
You're always welcome.
I thought that was Kyle that wasn't welcome back. I thought you were always welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Door's open.
Yeah, we got WrestleMania tonight. Don't forget. Got to watch the WWE. I wasted 2 hours of my life last night.
They waste two.
Them damn CBD gummies. Got me watching WrestleMania.
I watched a guy open boxes for an hour last night on Instagram. Dave Portnoy. I was like, what happened to my brain? This pandemic has killed my brain. I watched an hour of a guy open boxes in his apartment in New York City.
We're gonna die under quarantine, but
loving it. I was like, my brain is shot. What happened to me?
There he is, the Gupster.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, my man. Gup, you know what I'm gonna do for you today? I'm gonna show you right now. I'm gonna have some Oreos for you, brother.
Crib style.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Gup.
That one for me, big boy.
Come on, now, big wait daddy.
Wait a second. What is the Oreo story? What is the Oreo story for Guppy?
Man, you got well. You figured out when you're THC and the CBD, you guys all eat these munchies, man.
Oh, we know.
I'm only reading about it because
we don't judge, dude.
I don't have any idea. I just have a sugar.
You don't edit either.
I just have a sugar problem, so that's why I got to eat some Oreos.
Nice. I would say it's safe to say that in my house, Cheez-Its are the official snack of quarantine. Mm. They are fantastic.
So when you eat Cheez-Its, though, do you chew them? Or do you just kind of like, I don't know, whenever I eat Cheez-Its, I don't chew them up, really. I kind of just mash them up. I've lost where I'm going with it.
Kyle, please keep going. Kyle, keep going.
Let's go around the horn here. How does everyone eat their
Kyle, keep going, dude. You got it. Keep going, please.
Yeah.
You were talking about mashing them up or inhaling them. Keep going.
I don't chew the Cheez-Its. I just mash them up and let them dissolve. Yeah, just like.
Hey, guys. What's Norm Duke's snack? What's he get by with?
Ding dongs, Hostess ding dongs, baby.
Now my man.
I don't chew them. I just put them over here and I let them dissolve.
Just a pinch, between the cheek and gums. Just a pinch between the cheek and gums.
You know the there's a trick to the ding dongs.
That's all you need.
How long can you make the ding dongs last?
No.
This is the best podcast of all time.
Honey, you'll have to go to the other room.
Is the FCC going to come after us?
Oh, man. Oh. No, they haven't yet, so I think we're good because we used to be way worse than this.
That's not the worst. Yeah, there's been some things said on the podcast.
Oh, yes, yes. Hey, Norm, how about
Hunger's wife died?
Say that again, Hungus?
It's usually about what happens if Thunder's wife dies.
That's true. That is true.
All bets are off.
Trust us. Hey, I would love to hear from you guys, like, a favorite Bayside memory, because the only listeners really to this thing are Bull Portland people, so they are all, like, jonesing just to have Bayside memories right now. So I would love to hear a Bayside memory from each of you guys.
I got to go first. He's bouncing up and down over there.
Guppy's got a good
Guppy's got a good one. I don't know if I can tell this story. I mean, Timmy, should I tell mine? Okay, well, yeah. We'll let Gupp go first.
Okay. The only thing I remember was during the Pro-Am, I'm sitting in the bar. Weber's beside me, and we're drinking, you know. Weber's only drinking beer at that time. But next thing I know, here comes, what's his name, whose wife was on the show the other week with us?
Tracy.
Come on. Tracy.
No. One of the,
Renee.
EJ. EJ's wife was.
Oh,
That's who it was. EJ Jack.
Natalie.
EJ Jack comes up and asks for another beer. It's Pro-Am, and I guess I'd let him drink beer while they're bowling Pro-Am. Third time he comes up, he couldn't even stand. He just sat there going, I got bowl.
911.
That's why we call him 911.
We don't overserve, but EJ needs to be cut off right when he walks in the building.
that guy can't eat a gummy.
So
the gummy epidemic of the Pro-Am last year was great, but I have a better memory than that.
You guys just get your popcorn because this next you guys all get your popcorn and your favorite drinks because Kyle Troop's about to blow your mind. Okay, Kyle.
So, yeah, I've told a few people this story. But so we were up there. It was for the playoffs this year. It was the night before I bowled Barnes. The night before practice, I went out in my purple and orange pants and the donut shirt. Went out drinking with the locals. You know, we're all out hanging out. It's kind of late. We go to leave the bar to go to another bar. I'm the last person in the bar finishing my drink. I go to walk out. I don't even think Guppy's heard this story, so he's going to get a good laugh. I go to walk out. She grabs me by the shoulder. She's like, hey, want to go upstairs? And I kind of looked at her. And I looked back. Everybody's walking out. Yeah, sure. Why not? So go up to her apartment. All right. About a couple minutes go by. I'm standing in her living room, you know, like, all right, well, what's going to happen next? And she's like, okay, show me your. And I'm like, yeah, that's not how that's going to work. So 5 minutes later, what am I doing?
You're showing me your dick. Show me your dick.
Exactly.
I love that your dad knew exactly.
Don't overshare, guys. Remember, literally, we don't edit. We don't have time to. We just don't edit. So don't overshare, dudes. Let's just start using their bowling names, not their real names. What's your guys' Bayside bowling names so we can give you anonymity from here on out?
But then 5 minutes, she was like, okay, you can leave.
What? Hell no.
Hell no, that's not how it's going to work. And then long story short, 5 minutes after that, I'm fully dressed, stepping out of her apartment, don't know what the hell just happened, and went back to drinking at the next bar, and nobody knew what had happened. Till now.
And we still don't know. Thank God.
No, that was it. No, no. That was
thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Kyle. That was very brave of you to share.
Jack, you're listening down there.
All right, this one's not getting released.
Yeah. All right, Norm. Come on, Norm. Give us a Bayside memory.
Oh,
Norm.
He just fizzed out every story we could possibly have.
Well, now you're safe. Now you can almost say anything. You can even tell the truth.
One of my favorites is in the morning of like the second year we were there, I got to coach, I guess it was the Zingas? Bingas? The Bingas.
I got to coach Zingas. Them against,
oh, shit.
Yeah, Jamaica Jerks team, Bingas Wingas.
Yeah, I got to coach them against Jason Couch's team.
The Philly Hitmen.
And we had the, you know, the what do you call it, the little – mogul in the back that you're worshiping every time you got to rub
the little shrine.
The shrine. Oh, it was a blast. And we were doing this at 8:30 in the morning. The whole team that I'm coaching hasn't had more than 2 hours sleep, if that. Yeah. And so, holy cow, was that a fun time?
And they won.
No, they beat that. They beat the Hitman. They ruined those guys' lives. The next year, we told them to meet us at a bar, and we didn't show up. We doubled down on the Hitman. Couch still hates me because of that. Hey, Jason, sorry, bro. My bad.
Under Wives and season immediately runs out.
True story.
That is true.
Timmy Mac?
Mine's kind of unique because I'm about as polar opposite as you can come to the drinking and enjoying. I just have fun. I think I'm high on life. So obviously, you know, when I first came up to Portland, you know, the environment was something that I had never seen before in my life. It was one of the most incredible things I'd ever seen. And then when we switched over teams and we became the Portland Lumberjacks, I then felt like I had an obligation to find a way, because you never know how long things are going to last in life, right? You never know how long something's going to last, whether it's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And with each year that went by and we hadn't won a championship, I felt the pressure more and more and more on my own shoulders on trying to help get a championship to the city of Portland, because the city of Portland's done so much more for bowling than we could ever give back to, in my opinion. I mean, they've given us so much. So last year, we're obviously out celebrating, and I'll never forget it, actually, because some people gave me a hard time about it. We pour the champagne. We pour all the champagne in the trophy. And I'm at the end of the line. Someone fell off the chair there.
This is part of the show.
Yeah.
Remember that one.
So I'm at the end of the line, and everybody's drinking, and I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck are you gonna do? I gotta come up with something here. And then I just remember all these locker room celebrations and everybody throwing drinks all over them, and I just decided, you know what, I'm gonna pour this whole thing on my head. And I just took it, and whatever champagne was left over, I poured the giant thing on my head, and obviously the crowd jumped up and yelled, and it was for me, you know, I'll never forget it, even though I ruined Charlie's approach for about half an hour. But that's celebration and the people and all the BOPO people coming out in the lane for me. I'll never forget that. And the other one, which is a reference to Pro-Am, is the first Pro-Am I ever saw, because I wasn't bowling, right? I wasn't bowling. So I got to wear the wigs, and I got to go milk and get down and run around the people with the wigs. And I was having so much fun, I think everybody thought I was drinking, but I don't know if people realize I've never had a sip of alcohol in my life. So it was quite, man, what are you drinking, man? I want to have some of that. That's awesome. I'm like, I'm drinking Timmy Mac. That's what I'm drinking. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Speaking of drinking player name, you guys, we had Don Carter 39 this year. We were bowling on the Don Carter 39 pattern for BOPO, and one of the local breweries made us a beer brewed in Don Carter 39 Pale Ale, which is it was actually pretty good to drink.
That is nice.
Before we
are you gonna have more of that when we come up or no?
If you're here in July,
don't drink the stuff that's on the tap right now, because by the time you come up, it's gonna have been there for 6 months. let the other people drink that, then get the new keg.
We did make a TV commercial for the Don Carter 39.
That's true. Yep.
Oh, I saw that. It was awesome, guys.
That was all Charlie's idea.
Jesus, filming production.
That was good stuff.
So, Tom, joining us. Welcome, Tom Clark's here. Space Farmer is missing from the show. Tom,
I miss.
How you doing? Hey, good to be here. You got a great lineup here, I see.
Oh, look at there. The buff man.
There he is. The man himself.
Got a bunch
of
lumberjacks.
Said a bad word to Kyle.
Tom, hey, Norm. I was listening earlier.
Hopefully, Tom Clark doesn't find Kyle for his last outburst.
Hey, you're gonna hear the fine amount live.
It might be our first day.
You're gonna have to listen to the podcast to.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, we've been sharing, so if you want to find him here, it'll stand.
Or if you want to share something.
You guys will start up a fund. He'll make money on the deal.
Who won that ping pong match between you and your son that you went Facebook Live with? I didn't watch the whole match. Who ended up winning?
He always beats me now.
Yes, yes.
I
thought he was going to win.
He goes to my backhand. He goes to my backhand every shot. And if he goes to my forehand, he's going down. But I can't force him to hit it there. So
he knows better.
Nice. That's fun.
What's your take? We were discussing earlier, were the Bucks going to win a title this year?
God. Wow. It's really sad. I mean, as a sports fan, just all the things we're missing is brutal. I mean, basically my life is sports. It always has been. Every major event is a holiday to me, a sports holiday. To lose March Madness, to lose the Masters, now we're going to lose Wimbledon, and we lost the Olympics and the NBA, and every day with the NBA. And, of course, yeah, I live in Milwaukee now, so I'm following the Bucks, and that you just see so many people's dreams kind of go away. And I was thinking of kids too. Think of all the high school basketball teams that were coming up on their, you know, state championships, and those kids will never get this time back. So it's just brutal. I mean, and I love the fans in sports. I mean, that's why I love Bayside Bowl more than any place in the world. It's the best fans we've ever had, and that's what makes sports fun, is the fans. So even the ideas that, you know, well, we can bring things back with no fans, it just doesn't turn me on. I mean, I just love that stuff. I've been watching old games. I mean, what else are you going to do? I watched the 2003 NCAA championship yesterday on CBS Sports Network, and I treated it like it was live, you know. I just miss that stuff. And so yeah, the Bucks. I mean, you know, I actually thought this year, how bad can this year be with Kobe dying first, you know? And I figured that was going to mean the Lakers were going to win the NBA. I mean, they just had so much to play for, and there was so much emotion, and they have LeBron. I mean, they're going to be there.
And AD, Lakers were going to win it all.
Yeah, I think so. But the Bucks were going to be there, and it was going to be the next step for them, and they probably would get it the following year, because this guy Giannis is pretty special. I mean, he's a freak. He is a freak. It's his actual nickname. But yeah, I just feel bad that we're missing that stuff. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know how you guys are coping with it. I mean, I know you're all sports fans.
That's the real kicker in this. You have to go through this with no sports. It's like, what? Just take everything from me. Because if they take the beer, it's over. I'm going Vanilla Sky. Plug it in. Give me the virtual reality. Just take me home. I'm done. Just run around for days. Hey, virtual reality. Walk into a bar. Hey, guys, how you doing? Not sitting around with no sports and no booze and no nothing for the rest of my life. I'm out for that. I'm 46 years old. I didn't sign up for this crap.
I know.
But the sports thing is the kicker. I'm a Buccaneer fan. Tampa Bay since birth. We get Brady. I'm like, thank you, God. I'm like, oh, no, it's us. It's the Bucks. We're probably going to have a pandemic or something, and Brady's never going to play for us. Bam! Pandemic! We got to trade Brady now. I mean, we had Winston. Winston is awful in every way. We got Brady. I cried. I wept. I got down on my knees, and I started trolling all these Patriot fans about Tampa Tom, and now he will never play a game in Tampa.
Tampa Tom.
I get everything else, but the sports thing is the real Tampa Tom.
You know, it's almost like the sports and scheduling has been a part of the hope involved. Is you keep hoping that people are rescheduling or thinking about rescheduling earlier based on the hope that things level off or clear up, or that there's a change in the way we view this, so that people get back. And you know that, and it was really sports that led to the whole shutdown in the first place. I mean, Adam Silver in the NBA and Rudy Gobert, we'll never forget that guy. That was March 11th, and he got sick, and they canceled that game, and that was it. And everyone followed suit. And the NBA sort of has become the leader in sports right now, and the decision-making that they make. And it just was downhill from there. And we were live, as you know, on March 15th. You know, Timmy was there. I was in Vegas, and I got home that night. I got a red eye home, and I have not left my house other than walk the dog since then. It's 21 straight days of being home. And
what are you doing to fill the time?
You know, we're still working. I'm working just as hard. I have made so many different plans, and come up with so many different ideas for creative ways that we could get back, you know, in some way. And then when we get back, how we can do it. And it's kind of like the old Mike Tyson joke. It's like, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get hit, you know, and it seems like every time we've got a plan, we've got an idea, we got some momentum, we think we can do something, something else happens and there's another delay and there's another, you know, finding, and all of a sudden you feel like, well, this plan scrapped, we got to try something else. And so we've actually been I've been working just as hard, honestly. Conference calls, this Zoom is pretty amazing. I mean, we've been having a bunch of conference calls using this technology. So
my friend's a big part of putting it together. I know.
Is that right?
My friend's a big part of putting Zoom together, just so you know.
Wow. Well, he's going to be doing pretty well.
He was doing well beforehand.
I'm sure. But, yeah.
Hey, Tom, I want to hear from you. Like, tell me, like, one of the ideas that you've been thinking about that you're kind of excited about, if you don't mind. Is anything you want to share? Like, just tell me what you're thinking about. Like, what's firing you up?
I mean, one basic thing was just in terms of our actual schedule. I mean, we were unlike many sports in that we were almost done with our regular PBA Tour on Fox schedule. I mean, we had to finish the World Series, which had about four events left. We had the Masters, and then that was going to determine the top 24 in the playoffs and determine the top 8 in the playoffs. And the thought was, you know, maybe we'll just be able to move that and shift everything to the end of the year into the fall and be able to finish the World Series events at the same location that we do the Masters, wherever we end up doing that, probably back in Reno. And then we'd have the correct points list and then do the playoffs after that. And maybe, you know, cut things down a little bit, make it a little bit more easy. But you have to work that through with Fox. And we had great meetings with Fox, and it's still possible, but it's just, we'd love to be able to commit, you know, to something like that. But all the plans are there, and it's just that if all the sports can come back pretty soon, then Fox is going to get hit with a backload of programming that we have to try to schedule around, you know. So, but I would love to be able to do all that. I just don't know what's going to happen. That's kind of the simple thing. Then you say, well, what can we do that would be good entertainment for people during this time? And, you know, we've been thinking of a lot of creative ways to try to get guys on the lanes just by themselves. I mean, we could have, like, right now, Norm could bowl at a bowling center. The best bowl, I'll tell you right now, there's been two bowling that I've seen in the last 21 days that was good. One was Charlie bowling by himself at Bayside Bowl, and he had 5 in a row at one point. It was great. I was into it. And then I've seen, and I saw Brad Angelo bowl at his bowling, because he owns a bowling center in Buffalo. And by the way, when Brad was bowling live, somebody called the cops on him. That was nice. And the cops came. They were going to shut him down. I mean, but.
Did they really?
The cops came. But he kept, wow. They let him keep bowling, but they were just bothered. But I was thinking of, what would you think if Norm was at his local bowling center, they let him in, and he was bowling on one of these screens, and Kyle was bowling on another screen, and yeah, the lane conditions wouldn't be the same, but we just encourage you, make it as easy as possible for yourself, and we'd still
I
like
would love it.
We'd like to watch
300v300. I would love that.
We'd like you guys. Like some of these NBA guys have, you know, played NBA 2K, and they're like showing that on ESPN.
Last night. I really like our console video game. I see people criticize it, and I don't know what the hell they're talking about, because I think it's pretty damn good. It's not the same as the mobile game. It's a lot different. I have a good time with it, actually. I play with my son. He's a gamer, and he says it's pretty good. So, but Darren Tang, it plays it like all the time on Twitch. And last night, Darren Tang played against Andrew Anderson on Twitch, and they had like, I don't know, up to 1,000 people, I think, watching it at once while they played. I didn't get a chance to see it last night. I'm going to look back and see how that played out. But that's a great idea. That's a cool thing. I mean, shit.
Better if they bowl for money and they put money on that.
Can we award PBA points for virtual bowling matches?
Yeah. Well, look at NASCAR's iRacing.
We're in for the money games.
Crazy.
I like the virtual action matches.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of what Roltech was doing before. You know, we had it built up. It was kind of like fantasy bowling before, where people were posting their actual league scores against each other. And it kind of was like gambling to begin with. Not fair. Not in the same bowling center, but hey, we're in. It's action. We're going to play. I mean, we could do something like that with this. you know, so, and then there's ways to just, you know, there's limits in some areas where you can only have 10 people in a building. Well, we can do like an extra frame or a flow bowling type of a setup with 10 people or less in a building and have a match. You could even bowl on two different pairs if the optics weren't good for being on the same pair bowling against each other. So there's things like that. There's been a lot of different. Then there's just the stuff that we think of virtually. I was thinking of the other day was if we did like the ultimate all-time step ladder final, and you took the bowler of the decade from each decade and then put them in a step ladder somehow.
Well, and then you like a digital Dick Weber versus a digital
Norm Duke.
You would have five Walter Rays.
What decade could you steal? Norm, would there be a decade?
Norm would get the two.
I wouldn't get any decade because Walter Ray sucked them all out of everybody's hands.
I already. My job is to think ahead on things like that and figure out how to get Norm involved. So I already looked at it, and Walter would have the 90s, yes, but Walter was also the 2000 to 2010. But who was second that decade? Norm Duke. Can't have two Walters. You put Normie in there.
So yeah. Hungus had a teammate that beat Walter head to head.
I like the way you think.
Right, Hungus?
Yeah, Urban
Legend. He beat whatever his name is. Walter what?
That's right, I remember that.
One time.
Remember that.
Undefeated lifetime against Walter Ray.
But you know, you could use old clips and slap that together, and I think it'd be pretty cool. We did something on Facebook the other day where we just re-aired the entire 2012 US Open live. There were 3,000 people watching that at the same time, communicating, talking about Norm's or Pete's win in the 2012 U.S. Open, and that was pretty cool. So we're trying to keep people engaged. You know, I don't want to say anything's done because nothing is done, but the PBA League to me is another area where we could really keep people engaged this whole month leading up to a virtual draft just like this. You know, if I'm hosting this thing and we've got the 10 PBA league managers on screen just like this, and we were able to conduct a virtual draft, I think that a lot of people would enjoy that and watch it. And you could lead up to it with people talking about each team, interviews with each of the team managers about who they're looking at the rosters as they are right now.
And the trades. You could even film the trades.
Yeah. All this stuff could be live content.
Call me Timmy.
I think it'd be great if you let the defending champion keep the same team. That'd be great.
I knew that was coming up.
The only way to start a dynasty is to win with the same team again.
Yeah.
That'd be a really good rule to put in post coronavirus. I think that's a good new rule.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Come on. I agree with Tim.
Believe me, I've heard we let the pro-am champs defend here.
So. Which is questionable. That cost us a few times.
I just want to MC the pro-am again.
Shifter has two PBA titles now. It's brutal.
That's true.
Oh, that hurts. Hey, Tom, were there people who were left unprotected in the PBA league that surprised you?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them. Well, I think the most obvious was Rash, right? And then... Ryan Sim. Well, I don't know why.
Hey!
Not to us.
Why wouldn't you keep Simonelli? I mean, no, I'm just kidding. But there were a bunch of guys. I think there's a really good. During the debate over whether we should add teams to the PBA league was people saying there weren't enough good players to fill 10 teams. That was bullshit. I mean, there are plenty of players that can fill 10 teams and are great players that. Given the opportunity to.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm available if we need another. I'll take
yeah.
this spot.
Yeah.
You suck at bowling.
Yeah.
But, hey, Tom, maybe I can pull a Norm Duke for the Portland Lumberjacks if that's okay.
Yeah, well, you got to prove yourself first. I mean, sounds like that is not okay.
With the doubles, he must beat half the field probably.
Tell him, Kyle.
That was great, though. That was last year's Portland Lumberjacks win. I mean, well, and Norm being here, that the Dallas Strikers 300 game, and then Portland Lumberjacks win on the home field was two of the great moments that I've had in working for the PBA. And And they're two of the moments that I always use to try to get people from outside of bowling to be interested in the PBA, because they don't, most people outside of bowling, they don't get the same feeling of intensity and understanding of what's going on when it's a one-on-one match. It almost moves a little slow for them, and they really don't understand the nuances of the game. I mean, once you do, then you can really, really appreciate one-on-one matches, and it becomes part of the way you want to watch bowling. But to initiate people into it, having the team atmosphere is easy for them to identify with. And then when you can show them how exciting it can be with something like Norm striking out in the 10th for a 300 and fans piling into the onto the lanes when their team wins the championship and things like that, that feels like the kind of sports that everybody's used to seeing. And I use that all the time to try to get people interested. It was a big way to get, you know, the Lumberjacks last year was on Fox, but getting Fox interested in the PBA, I mean, a lot of it was showing them action at Bayside Bowl and showing the fans and how into it they were, because people want to be associated with stuff like that.
Do the fans do anything in college bowling? In the, because I know that's team, but I've never really watched. I mean, do the fans do anything?
It's all right. It's a little overrated, I think, because sometimes people show a college tournament and they show that it's packed with people, but the reason it's packed is because there's 24 teams bowling at the exact same time. Yeah. So there's people affiliated with each of those teams. It just looks crowded because there's so many people there that are just with each team. When it becomes one-on-one, I think they're missing the boat where that could be a bigger part of it. And you just have to figure out a way to get a section of the student body to come. And maybe one way they don't do college bowling right now that I wish they would, and I would love to help or be involved with, is to set up more one-on-one matches. Like, I'd rather watch Nebraska play Wichita State one-on-one on a home and home in a, as part of a conference or something, than go to the Midwestern Collegiate Championship and watch 24 teams bowl and hope that they end up in the finals. You know, and just like regular college sports where it's, hey, we have a home and home, we're in a conference, we play one game against each other. I'd like to see a little bit more of that in college bowling and see if maybe you could build an arena and bowling centers to get fans involved that way. But
I got another fan question for you. Like, one of the that tournament, the Masters tournament, where we created so much controversy by being pimped and posed, apparently. But having a great time. What we did also notice is over in the off TV section, there were like four or five younger people dressed up like a hamburger and a taco.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very Bayside thing. They were unrelated to us. And then I just wondered if any of that is happening. Are you seeing any more like of that kind of person coming to shows randomly on their own? Like,
yeah, a little bit. I mean, we had in we were in Nebraska and for the U.S. Open, and there was a little group of people that came, and they were all dressed up. I'm not even sure what they were trying to look like, but they clearly had costumes on and were there to have a good time. Nice. And we moved them over to the TV side real quick. You know, we put them into the seats so they'd be on TV more. And we always try to do that, but yeah, I wish people would more. I mean, most of the fans that we get that come to our events on TV, and they buy these tickets, I mean, the minute they can go, because they love the PBA and their cities, and they're usually league bowlers, people who bowl and have watched the PBA for years, and they have so much respect for the game that they come to our events and they want to show respect to the players, and they want to be quiet because they want to give the player every opportunity to concentrate, and that's what they're used to watching their whole life. And it's just almost uncomfortable for them to think they should spontaneously cheer or cheer before a ball is thrown or when a guy is on an approach. And so it's very hard to get to that next level. I mean, when we were at Bayside the first time, I remember the crowd was going nuts. And I remember Kirk came right out and he said to the fans, all right, this is the way we do it. We have to be quiet while the bowler's on the approach. Then when the ball is let go, get into the shot. And I remember you guys started chanting, let them cheer, let them cheer, let them cheer. And we looked at the players, and I think I remember Amleto was in that match, Parker Bone was in that match, Pete, you know, legends. And I remember they all said, yeah, no, go ahead, let them cheer. And you guys were loud for every shot. I remember they missed like the first five spares they threw in that game. It was unbelievable.
I thought the guys were throwing off. I thought the players were so pissed about the yelling that they missed on purpose. That's how unreal it was that Parker Bone would miss a six pin or Pete Weber would miss a 10 pin on TV. And it was unbelievable. They just had to get used to it. They got used to it. And then you see great things happen.
There were 4-9 misses in the first 5 frames of that game. Because when I walked in the door, I looked up and saw it. And I said, well, what's happening? Are the approaches sticky or is it raining? What is going on?
I'm telling you.
We wanted you guys to miss. We wanted to show you how it is.
I mean, it got real.
I do that all the time over there.
The only 2-pin I've ever missed was on that building. I guarantee it. It's a tough thing when you've got everybody just – it's a ruckus.
I get nervous whenever we do anything new because I second guess every new thing because it's, you know, it's not easy to change tradition, especially for me who I really love the traditional aspect of the PBA and bowling. And so I'm always afraid that maybe the players, you know, kind of resent this idea that, wait a minute, a PBA is not a team sport. You know, we don't have, you know, these crazy fans cheering and stuff. The sport, remember Earl Anthony in 1982 and that was so classic. Yeah. That's the way it ought to be. And so it goes through my mind. And so when they were missing all those spares, I seriously was like, guys, are you doing this on purpose? I mean, I'm like, you got to stop.
But, on strike.
But that was crazy. But no, I really think the only way we could ever change it so that the fans, there's two ways. One would be to only market to people that aren't necessarily bowling fans in a given city and make sure that people are coming based on the idea that they see advertised to them that this is the way you act on a PBA show. And then hopefully you turn the tide and the people that come are ready to behave that way. The second way would be up to the players completely. And I talked to Kyle about this too. And I've said, look, if you want it, if you stand on that approach and you put your hands up like this and say, I can't hear you. The fans, they will do it for Kyle, and they will be loud.
We'll do it for anyone. If you want it, we'll give it to you.
They'll do it, yeah. And so it just now it comes down to, does a player feel comfortable doing that at that point? You're asking a player to do something proactive from a marketing standpoint while they're bowling for their life. They're bowling for their career. They're trying to win titles. This is what defines them. This is money that they need. This is how they keep their ball contracts. So it's kind of hard to ask somebody to do something from a marketing standpoint when I want them to concentrate on bowling. But someday somebody's going to do things like that, and it's going to change the atmosphere. I don't like the idea of us coming out and just saying, you must cheer now. Yeah. You know, that when we tried that, they tried that in the 90s, and I didn't like it personally as a fan, and I don't think anybody really loved that. But anyway, yeah.
When you tell us to cheer, we don't. We cheer when we want to cheer. That's why we're there.
Multiple formats. Anyway, you can have a quiet one. You can have a rowdy one. I mean, Bayside is what it is. It's a special event. You can't recreate it. I mean, there's no Bayside Bowl franchises. I mean, you can't. It doesn't. If it's a community and it's a really special fan base. And so if it doesn't totally shift how other fans, that's fine. I mean, it's still a special event on the calendar. But one third way, if you were really trying to get fan involvement, is if we expanded the PBA league concept to having home teams.
Yeah.
If you know, whatever, even if there was one down in Rhode Island, we were a rival.
We'll travel for this.
Travel, and they would be there. I mean, you would get that. That would be a way you could do it, that team format.
Our buddy's wife fell out on the lanes year one.
Noon.
Weber's backswing.
This is the best part, though. Like, literally within, I'd say, 15 seconds prior to that, she had looked at Peanut Gutter. Her name is clarified. She looked at Peanut Gutter and goes, and saw her watch at like 12:10 and goes, is it noon or midnight? And literally the next person up was Pete Weber, and she fell into the lane.
That's through the poster story. Board, out on because, the lane.
Yeah, we were tailgating from like 8:30 in the morning, and we had all the white Russians in the orange cups that year. That was the year we get booze. We walked in and just started pounding booze, double shot drinks as opposed to sipping on light beers.
Yeah.
And it was noon, and clarified was down.
She got 10 minutes at the bar. She came back down. She fucked up again. Then she got 10 minutes in the parking lot, and Peanut Gutter called a cab and had her taken home. And he stayed for what was midnight in real life.
If you're too drunk to be on the lane, you go to the bar. If you're too drunk to be at the bar, you go to the parking lot.
Oh, year one was crazy, dude. I couldn't do year one. If I did year one right now at this age, I'd drop dead.
Oh, no. The first
year one was crazy.
I was hammered by 8 a.m. I mean, I was on that parking lot.
Tailgate starts 5:30.
Tailgate. And by the time we were on the air, I was gone. I was like, I'm out of every meeting from now on. I'm a fan. I'm not involved. And then I did go on a radio interview live during that year. And somebody has it, but I'm just yelling and screaming. And while I was on the, I remember while I was on that show, Mika made the 2810, which is probably the loudest I have ever heard a place explode. And I was just as loud as everybody in there on the show. But
I think that was where the term bowling heaven came from, right?
I think so. That was a radio show. That's right.
Bill Bratlow said, Tom, what's going on in there? It sounds like WWE. This is real, baby!
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, yeah.
I got to grab that audio.
That could be a Bayside shirt. This is real, baby.
On the back, call the front desk.
That's how you do it! Amazing. I'm going to love it. That was a badass shot.
That was amazing. That was amazing. There's been a lot of good moments from there. I also put in front of Fox that they should re-air the last year's PBA League in a row, probably like one night after the other, or all in a row, four straight shows in a row one day, like do a marathon of it.
Yeah. Because would Kyle get paid for that? Because he seemed to be very, very in favor of that. Yeah.
Well, I mean – I really think they should, and I was
every night from now until July, please.
why wouldn't you? I mean, it was on in the summer last year. I mean, you know, traditionally the summer is not the best time for bowling on TV. It's better in the winter. People bowl in the winter. I mean, that's when our ratings are the highest. When we're on in the summer, usually it's a way to keep people thinking about bowling and get people thinking about next season and get to be a part of the of a league or something. But it's not the time of year when you have the most audience. So I really think that they'd get a lot of mileage out of re-airing that. It would almost seem completely fresh and new to a large part of viewership.
It would be fresh and new to everybody.
On Facebook Live.
Yeah, one of my Netflix binges in this quarantine has been Sunderland Till I Die. And so, like, they're in League One, which is the third division in England. I have no idea what happens in any of their matches. So I am literally cheering for this team that I have no idea what's about to happen. I think that would be the entire world if there was competition on that they have never seen before. They have no idea who's going to win. I think it would be very compelling.
I watched a guy open boxes for an hour last night on Instagram Live with 50,000 people. Dave Portnoy's like, going to open all these fucking packages. I'm like, fuck it, dude. I'm not going anywhere. I don't even know what night it was. Friday, Saturday night. Who knows? I'm in. Fuck it. I loved it.
It was Howie. Yeah,
I watched Tom play his son in fucking ping pong. I got nothing to do, dude. I'm 46 years old. I mean, I'm losing my mind thanks to this shit. I mean, I get the greater good, but this blows. Yeah.
That's why we have this very important podcast on Sunday.
Tom, did you beat your son when you were playing ping pong on Facebook Live or whatever you were doing?
No, we were just talking about it. I lost. I've lost. We did it twice. I lost both times. He
knows his weakness and he attacks it.
He knows my weakness.
Legit.
Backhand. All I can do is spin from backhand. I can't. No force. No power from the back. So he just keeps going to my backhand. I don't know. You guys have a ping pong. You guys have a great ping pong table.
You ever played Jamaica Jerk? A
couple tables, but
be good.
Jerk's our ringer. He's got a table. I think Norm's played Jerk in ping pong, or Kyle has.
No, but I was gonna say I'll take Jesper though.
He's good.
No, Jerk beat Jesper. Well, Jerk beat okay. Jesper.
All right, I knew they had a couple good rounds.
For a grand.
Yeah, he's Tom. I think I played.
Jesper still owes it to him.
Tommy Jones is
Cash App. They got Cash App in Sweden.
Yeah, well, how do you Tommy say Jones. Venmo in Swedish?
Tommy Jones crushed
Venmo.
Me. Tommy Jones absolutely crushed
I heard
me in ping
good.
Pong at Jerk Studio.
Who's the best ping pong player on the tour?
Tommy or Jesper, right?
Wow.
Oh, Jesper. I would think.
Jesper?
Wow.
Remember, I went, right?
I remember when Tommy Jones had the Who's Got Next line where he was yelling, Who's Got Next? Well, that came from Jamaican Jerk's ping pong table because he was on a roll and he would look at everybody after he wins a couple and go, Who's Got Next? Who Got Next? And then the next day he pulled it out live. Yeah.
Next.
If there was an Olympics for games like bowling, pool, ping pong, darts, golf, individual sports that people play.
Foosball,
all that stuff. I can tell you right now that bowlers, PBA bowlers, would be the best athletes in the world.
Dude, they work in bars. Of course they are.
And not only that, but they have more hand-eye coordination.
I can tell you this, too. Nobody would watch that.
I don't know. I mean, look at darts in England. I mean,
I watched boxes get open last night, and I'm out for that Olympics. Man, I got nothing to watch right now. I'm watching Westworld out of order, losing my mind.
Don't worry. In order, you still lose your mind.
Okay, good. Okay, I feel good then. Okay, I'm back. I'm back.
Oh, yeah, you're back.
Norm's good at golf. Probably whatever you want. I'll bet you one of these guys is really good at pool.
I'm much better at pool than I am at golf.
Troop's good at pool. I've seen Troop play pool. He's good.
I'm okay at pool. I cannot.
You know Norm's good at pool. Tim's good at everything. Hell yeah.
Look at EJ Tackett. He can. You put a ball in his hand. He can do anything. He can play anything.
He can't party though.
Oh, by the way,
can't party. He better stay on tour. He can't get in the crowd with us. He's gonna drop dead.
He can get in that crowd with Walter Ray, and you could try some horseshoes if you'd like.
That's right.
He can't do that deal either.
And he can.
I heard they're dominant at horseshoes. I heard Walter Ray's better at horseshoes than he is at bowling, which is saying a ton.
He was at one time. I remember watching him play horseshoes at the national championship because it was in Syracuse when I was a kid. I went and watched him because I knew him from bowling. And it's amazing watching when he was at the top of his game. There actually became this new guy. I think his name's Alan Bishop, who, you know, Walter won the player of the year for like 6 years in a row or something like that. But this guy, Alan Bishop, I think he's won the Horseshoe Player of the Year like 10, 12 years in a row. And I always thought if somebody like Norm would teach that guy how to bowl, that he'd be like awesome. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever taught him how to bowl, but he would probably be great at it. The other sport, the other new game that everybody's playing is cornhole. I bet Walter's great at that.
Yeah.
How could he not be?
I went after cornhole players in that.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Did you guys see the commercial? Did you guys see that fake Don Carter commercial?
I love it. That was awesome. Yeah.
Norm, did you see it?
I saw it. I thought it was adorable.
You remember the original commercial?
Troop, yeah, you haven't seen
I
it?
Do.
Oh, I did.
All right, Charlie, you gotta text it to Troop. He hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah. I can't.
Why don't you do a screen share? Hold on. Let's do a screen share, Charlie.
You guys just keep. Right, yeah. Let's all watch it.
All right. Listen, this is going to take Hungus a few minutes, but he's going to get a screen share. So
hey,
we'll all
you guys have time? Can we?
I think everybody has time.
When Charlie told me about the Carter 39 beer, I think the first thing I did was send him a link to that exactly. Commercial.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah, I've got time. When I leave this room, I have to sign divorce papers.
Your life is over.
I'm not leaving.
Hey, and guys, y'all need to realize that the other athletes in the facility while Don Carter was doing this actually looked up to Don because he made more money than all of them did. And they were jealous of him because bowling was so much more televisable back then. You could get really close up. You could get the lighting right. You could control things. And to show football, you know, it was good. It just wasn't as great as it is now when you've got 17 to 25 cameras all over the place. So they really,
Norm, what years are we talking about here? And like how much was Don making? Like, was he making like 100,000 in 1950?
No, Don Carter was the first $1 million athlete in any sport. He signed the first $1 million contract. It was, I believe, a 3-year deal for $1 million with Ebony.
Wow.
And so when Babe Ruth, gosh, at the time, way back then, he was making probably 12 or 13,000 a year, and Don Carter made at least 5-6 times that.
Oh, the most Babe Ruth ever made was like $65,000 in a year, and that was like huge money.
What years? What year are we talking about, Norm? What years are we?
I'm guessing somewhere. Tom would know this.
No, Carter was the 50s. You know, before the PBA, he was, and he's really he became the biggest first star, and then Dick Weber came after him, and that was team bowling. I mean, for the most part, he was on the Budweiser team. It was called. And Dick Weber and Don Carter were on the same team. Ray Bluth. It was it's the legendary team from St. Louis. And they would State travel record, and against the others. And he got that contract from Ebonite.
Gee, shut up.
You know, and it was a television sport. And then the PBA tried to, you know, Eddie Elias with working with Don Carter and Dick Weber and Carmen Salvino. I mean, those guys kind of got in a room and figured out how to turn it into a weekly sport like golf, because before that it was just random big tournaments in bowling and then the team bowling and the team tournaments in the random big tournaments in bowling were so much different than what you see from the PBA now. I mean, when Don Carter would win the U.S. Open before the PBA, he'd bowl 100 games and it would be total pins. And so at the end, he'd be ahead by 400 pins. And so they'd come on the air and they'd say, all right, we're on the air live at the U.S. Open. And Don Carter, it was the BPA All-Stars. I mean, Don Carter is up by 400 pins. He's finishing out his last game. And you just watch him finish. And you knew everybody knew he was going to win. And it wasn't really compelling because it was just covering something that was it was over. And so that's why they invented the stepladder and ranked the final five guys and put them on a TV show that's essentially like a game show in a way, and made it really televisable, and people would come back every week to see that. But it's interesting that all progressed. And the way that it was team bowling first before that, and then bowling kind of got partnered with golf.
Like when we won that first PBA Pro-Am title at Bayside Bowl.
You led by that first by year. 400? Yeah, you led by 400. But
STs, he knows.
Wait, hold on though. So wait, this is kind of interesting. So Norm, from your perspective then, so you've won 40 titles? 40. Yeah. So how many have been like because you won, you were number one seed, and how many were because you had to fight through the stepladder? Plus or minus?
I would say maybe 13 were from the lead, and it's likely that we're about 50-50 from the lead. If you've won more than Leo Voss in the lead, you've done very well over time.
Well, there were okay. Probably
– Wait, Kyle, what? How many are you?
3 for 3, 2 doubles and a single.
Leading.
Guppy, I don't know if that math works.
Seed? Hey, Guppy, wait, was Guppy ever number one seed?
Yeah. Kyle did something this afternoon. This
Austin
morning.
Open.
And we had the Austin Open on, and I won that with a 188 game, I think it was. Mark Baker shot 279 in the first game against 278, and then they bowled me, and he shot 150.
Well, Guppy beat me once from the lead, so one of my losses is from him. I still hate him for it.
Battle Creek? I'm not Battle.
Columbus.
Well,
Columbus, Ohio, yeah.
One of the worst examples of that over the last few years was 2 years in a row at the U.S. Open, Jacob Buttriff led the U.S. Open by like 300 or 400 pins. I mean, he won those tournaments. And then on TV, he loses the one game, loses the title. And, you know, that happens too much. That happens so much. I mean, sometimes people think they're actually trying to not finish first in a tournament, which is crazy. And everyone really does try to finish first. But you sometimes wonder, because I think it was 7 in a row recently where the leader lost on TV. Kyle won. Broke the streak, I believe.
Welcome back, Jesus.
Tom, you keep having this conversation. Belmo's going to like you a lot, just so you know.
What? I'm trying to take over your screens for a second.
Yeah. Right, finally. All right, so here we go.
Guys, commercial. Guys, don't say Belmo.
Too long now. Bowlers have been left out of craft beer commercials. Cornhole players are getting all the glory. Bowlers know Don Carter 39 tastes great. Bowlers know it puts 10 more pins on your head. We also know it's less filling. Bowlers like craft beer just as much as cornhole players. We also love the easy opening can.
Yes, we do. Don Carter 39. Everything you always wanted in a beer for bowlers.
Well done, Hungus.
That's great.
Oh, now, wow. Charlie, you got to play the Don Carter commercial.
Yeah.
Now you got to play the original, Hungus. Hungus, you got to find the original now, dude.
And then if you play the original, then you have to play the Bubba Smith It was Bubba Smith that started it all when he rips the can off with his hand because he's so strong.
Oh, yeah. That one's
And then Don Carter copies him.
Right? I think originally I didn't know why.
Then Don Carter.
Yeah. I don't know why cheese. Don Carter was doing it.
Now you know, cheese.
Well, I mean, I knew. Okay. I didn't know until I looked it up. Good story.
There it is. Here you go.
There it is.
Commercials. And football players have been grabbing all the glory. But bowlers know light beer from Miller tastes great. We know light's got a third less calories than the regular beer. We know light's less filling. Bowlers love light just as much as football players. And we also love the easy opening can.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted.
Hey. Hey, Norm, it might be a sensitive question, but you would probably know more than anyone. Is that a toupee?
Yes. I think that if it is, and it did look like one, I think they're trying to make him look like, you know, a stereotypical bowler with the loud jacket and, you know. Everybody else in the whole place has got their bowling shirts on, and you know, but he's got the jacket. Yeah, I think it
and
is.
And hair.
I think Guppy would know more than anybody though, because he was around way before I was.
What do you think, Guppy? You think that was a toupee? Guppy, you think that was a toupee that Don Carter was wearing?
I don't even know. I don't know if it was or not. I met the guy one time. Still don't know if it was.
I bet you were stoned when you met him.
Well, I had a few drinks.
Yeah, drunk.
Okay.
And I say yes, it was his real hair.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. It didn't look real. Did not look real.
There were famous toupees in the PBA. Dick Ridker, he had a toupee.
Sutar.
Harry Golden. Yeah, Dave Sutar for sure. Harry Golden, Norm. I mean,
Randy Peterson.
Chuck Pierce.
Chuck Pierce, yeah.
Yeah, Chuck had one. He used to ride on in the motorhome with me on the tour.
The greatest toupee of all time, guys, is our Chinese doubles friend, Terry Leung.
Terry Leung.
And I can promise you, I got a story about it that I told Normie when we played golf in Vegas, and it confirms it's the greatest toupee of all time. I guarantee. That.
Did Scroggins ever wear a toupee? Tim, how about Scroggins? Ever wear a toupee?
Hey, Thunder, hold on. Tim, can you spell
this guy's Scroggins name? Scroggins Farmer?
No, I don't. I want Tim to spell this guy's name so Hungus can do a search on it and we can get
very
a visual.
Very simple. It's Terry Leung, L-E-O-N-G. He won't be on TV. You won't see him on YouTube. But
sweet. Yeah. He can bowl for us.
He bowls. He's a good bowler. He's in a bunch of local Hall of Fames. I used to bowl doubles with him. I call him my world famous Chinese doubles partner. He's a Chinese. He's like the Highlander. The guy never ages. And then he was losing his hair, and then he decided to go with the greatest rug of all time. And when I tell you, it's got gorilla glue grip underneath it. It is the greatest rug of all time.
I think Hungus might have a toupee right now.
I clearly
Farmer
don't.
Definitely does.
I definitely don't.
Come on, Jimmy.
Oh, my man, Guppy, my man.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. No, that's real. That's not real? That looks like some good flow right there.
Tom, what are the chances you guys are coming here in July?
You know, it's we haven't even really said anything about not coming.
Right.
It's just on as far as I'm concerned. I'm figuring it's going to be the greatest party of all time.
I'll be there.
You know, we got to feel like if we can do it that, you know,
I'm in too.
It's going to be perfect timing to have everybody just be insane. I mean, that's going to be fun. I sure hope so. I don't know. I mean, if canceled a bunch of things in July. I mean, what's the PBA league without fans? Do we even, you know,
yeah.
God, man. You know, so hopefully things flatten out here and
yeah.
But it's still a ways. I mean, July is my son is in junior gold this year. This was going to be his first junior gold, which is July 10 through 18, something like that. So I was already planning to be in Vegas that week, and they haven't canceled that yet. I'm hoping they don't, because I was actually really excited to go to that and watch my son bowl, and he was going to practice all this time. He hasn't been able to bowl in a month, you know.
Fuck and, you, farmer, dude.
So, tell me what your son. What's your son's average?
He's 210 or so. He's a two-hander.
A house shot?
Yeah, house shot. Yeah, he's
good. Sounds like a young Roy Munson.
And he's good at ping pong. So he's
how old is he?
Better than dad.
He just turned 17. He's the anchor on his high school team.
Take it easy, Joe Exotic. What's wrong with you, cheese? Come on, man.
Oh, dude, at 17, rolling 2-something.
Yeah. I was actually.
Don't say anything. Go ahead.
I was cleaning out a bunch of stuff in a room, and I had an autograph from Norm Duke on a Norm Duke card, and it was signed to Rory, and I hope to bowl against you one day, and it was from 2006, and when my son was 3, and he met Norm when he was 3, and he got this autograph card that Norm gave him, and he wrote right to him, put his name on it and everything. So I'm just waiting for that day when my son can bowl them.
That's awesome.
Just so you know, guys, I'm coming to the PBA League with this year.
For those who obviously can't see, this is his Penn State football helmet.
This is my Penn State football helmet, boys.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see some people probably bouncing around in that.
Bowling in it, too.
Over there and cracking skulls.
Strike helmet. It's the strike helmet.
Bowl in that. Have to bowl in it.
Bring it on, boys. Bring it on.
Well, Tim is
bowling a Mexican wrestling mask.
We're going to have to get a strike helmet on TDYOB now.
We have a strike mask.
The helmet's way better. I can get a helmet sent up from Tampa.
Steve, you can still fit. Hold on a second.
With a mask.
Oh, here we go.
We got to get some blue oil streaks on that helmet.
I'm on the don't fit. Oh, it doesn't fit. No way. Look at that.
Oh, it totally fits. That's like protecting.
Does that fit?
Zero chance of another concussion in that thing. He's totally fine.
That's a nose strap, not
now,
a chin strap.
Put it reverse the camera and run through that wall right behind you with that helmet on. I bet it'll be fine. Let's see what happens. I can tell my wife, hey, dude, Tim Mack ran through a wall and he wasn't even doing anything.
She's a little snug, to say the least. Thought I'd change it up a little bit. I'm just down here cleaning up my back to my basement. So I got some bowling balls here for Norman.
Oh, my God.
We'll take all the free balls. You know, could use a new ball? Hungus. Yeah. This team was going down. He's psyched that this fucking happened.
Oh, you guys are beautiful.
Yeah, we were fine. Yeah, I'd love to hear from all you guys about this topic. Like in the preseason this year, it seemed like a ton of guys switched ball companies, like way more than normal. And maybe it's just because I just don't see that. But what do you guys think of that? That was unique, right?
Well, a lot of that had to do with the fact that Brunswick brought all of EBI's assets at the end of last year, so that left a lot of guys scrambling on which direction they wanted to go. So some guys got kept, some guys got left behind the eight ball, and then obviously some guys were coveted by some other companies. And I think that really was the reason why everything changed drastically, is because of that singular purchase in our industry. And it sent shockwaves to our entire industry on a number of different levels. And listen, there was a lot of questions out there that people didn't really know what was going to happen or what was going to transpire. But in the end of the day, it was, in my opinion, that's really where it came out and why it happened.
You know, I think one other thing to add to that too is like, just Flow Bowling kind of making the contract extension signings, like, you know, just bringing the media, like bringing more attention to the different contract signings too. I like that as a player. You know, I felt like, Yeah, Dick Allen signs a 5-year extension. Tommy signs an extension. You know, it's kind of like the other professional sports. And I think it just all the different contract signings was brought to attention a little bit better to this year.
Yeah.
The social media too.
I agree with that. But what do you think about, you know, in a perfect world, the PBA league would be like that too, where every time, or maybe there'd be a free agency situation and then have different news come up about extensions or teams picking up a player rather than just the one draft. And we thought for a few years that maybe each of the teams should be aligned with a ball brand, and that way the ball brand news would all be about competing on the team in the PBA league. And I mean, it could work. I mean, it's things that could work, but there's problems too with it. But
well, Tom, thank God you don't do that, or I'd have about 65 more people that would hate me already. So it'd be great.
Well,
appreciate you not doing that, buddy. So thanks for that.
Thing is, it wouldn't even be your call. You know, let's say a ball brand owned the team, then the call would be who's signing those checks, and that would be really their salary, and then they would hire you just to manage the team. Now you don't have to worry; you'd have input as to who you got, but your job would be to run the team and make the decisions.
Hey, I want first right of purchase for the strikers. I don't want no doggone ball brand to come in here and buy their stuff and interject politics all over my stuff, you know?
Farmer's bowling name was Ball Brand before he changed to Ball Farmer.
Ball Brand.
It is now.
Just so you guys know.
It is now.
That's so awesome.
What about Norm? I want to hear from Norm or Kyle from player perspective, though, when you see a bunch of people jumping around. When you see that, like, give you pause a little bit, or what was it like for your from your world? Yeah, I got you, Norm.
Farmer, I can hear.
Well, I'll answer your question.
Go ahead.
As far as the players, yeah, we could care less who everybody else signs with.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it matters none to us. Our job is to go out there and feed our family, represent the companies that we're signed with to our best of our ability, to show all of the things that the equipment will do. You know, they say Team Brunswick, Team Storm. We have our network, of course. We're closer to them simply because we spend more time with the Storm staff players. And the team is more from the office and the players' standpoint more than it would be, okay, let's say Brad Miller is on the Storm staff, therefore we're teammates. It's really not like that. Maybe it will be in the future when we have better team bowling, but right now it's still individual sport, just like golf.
Interesting. I like that. Thanks, Norm.
And then, you know, like NASCAR kind of has both worlds in a way, that they're individuals. They're trying to win individual points and titles and money. But at the same time, they're on a team associated with a car, with an auto brand. And they do work together during races. I mean, they draft for each other. I'm not an expert in racing, but I know they help each other
right. And
work together. And so it's interesting how NASCAR has figured out how to kind of involve more brands, where they have the endemic sponsors or the automotive brands involved that way. But then they have sponsors on their teams that are non-endemic type sponsors. And then they still make it an individual sport. And they have like some sort of cup, I think, for the team. But
Tiger Woods is not going to throw off a couple of holes in order to be paired with somebody on Bridgestone staff or Nike staff. It's not, you know, it's an individual sport. You would say that racing is both. I would say it's both.
Yeah.
And Norm, if you were a NASCAR driver, who would be across the chest? Publix?
Well, I probably wouldn't play as much as a team player as most of the guys would.
But I mean, in the PBA right now, you can have something on your uniform, right? Doesn't Dick Allen have, like, you know, state, like, restrooms on his
truck size,
Travel Centers of America?
Something like that, right? Yeah, so fuck, you can put shit on your fucking thing.
Oh, of course you can.
General Electric, Zoom. Zoom's blowing up. I got to tell you, I missed the Zoom train. I should have seen it coming. I'm pissing Timmy myself.
Timmy
jumped in on Zoom right off the bat.
Sorry, guys.
I'm going to jump in it tomorrow.
Sorry, boys. I've got the in on Zoom. Sorry about that. I forward you the picture that I have on here, but you guys wouldn't
believe it. Kim got in Zoom at $3. We're all paying $125.
She's only got 40 billion in cap space, right? Cap quality right now. He's got a lot of money, a lot.
But to go back to the team point, I will tell you this: we have a choice of what company that we're going to sign with. Some companies, let's say, don't give you an offer, but those that do, then you choose. And me personally, I chose Storm. I even called them for a year and a half before they had room farming on their staff. They were
what year was that, Norm? What year was that?
It was 2004-05 when I started calling them, and I got signed finally in 06. And quite frankly, I performed very, very well with their stuff prior to getting signed. Otherwise, there were so many interesting players back then that I may have been lost in the shuffle. But as it turned out, they accepted me, and I've been there for 14 years now, as happy as a lark.
That's awesome.
Carl, how long have you been with Storm?
All right. Storm, I've been with them 4 years, 5 years. I signed in 2016.
I won 4 or 5. Half of his life.
5 years.
He's not a math guy. He's not a math guy.
He's on the Lumberjacks with Hungus for a reason. Hungus knows jack shit. And he's the commissioner of the league. Like, hey, who won back in like 08? Hungus is like, no fucking clue. It's like, dude, there was 3 teams in the league.
Hey guys, I've been with Storm longer than Norm and Kyle combined.
Correct.
Been there a long time.
Who was the first player that Storm signed when Bill started it?
Himmler, Weber, or Kretzer?
We had a couple amateur players signed that they signed in 97, but I started throwing the balls in 1995. Had my first couple deals in 95 with them. I was one of the first original guys back then. But on pro staff, the guy that made the biggest difference made the biggest splash. We had a couple senior bowlers signed on when they made their first couple initial TV shows. I know Brian Himmler was a very early signing for Storm. So was Dennis Horan way back in the day. But the guy that really turned around was Weber. I mean, Weber in 97, he made 11 shows that year on the PBA tour. And as far as PBA is concerned, When I started throwing the bowling balls in 95, people looked at me like I was crazy. You know, some of these guys are going, what's Storm? I mean, that's when Columbia was big. The danger zones, I think, were big. Columbia was gigantic, and Norm can attest to that. And so was Ebonite. Ebonite was big as well with their Nitro R and Nitro R squareds. And so, listen, I think it's just a conglomerate of I've been very lucky and fortunate in my career that I've been able to been with one company my entire adult life, basically. I started there when I was 23. We're fortunate, and all of us here that are talking together are fortunate that two people, and I'm going to name their names, Bill and Barbara Crispin, you know, own that company and have given so much to Storm, back to bowling, and are so heavily invested in the sport of bowling. I mean, even up to this year now, and Tom, I'm pretty confident Storm sponsored the World Series of Bowling, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, but you know, with that in mind, guys, we've got a lot of great people out there. Corey Dykstra from Brunswick is fantastic. You know, the gentlemen up at Motive are great. I come from the school of thought that you don't talk bad about your competitor. If you do things the right way, your work and your effort will come out above and beyond. But let's talk good about bowling in general from top to bottom, because if we all do that, it makes it better for our sport, for everybody, and we have more opportunity for everybody. That's how
So there's no, like, real-life beef where you guys would, like, get in a knife fight, like in The Outsiders, like out in the street over, like, ball companies, which is great to hear.
There's rivalries. I mean, it's like
there's plenty of rivalry. Right fights is a different level of a rivalry. I want to beat you. I don't want to, you know, stab the guy. I mean, I've never stabbed a guy in my life.
There's no stabbings.
Yeah,
I just don't see Disco Deadeye coming in with a knife trying to hurt anybody. You see? I don't see that?
A metaphorical knife.
You know, I was rooting for I was rooting for Belmo's bowling balls to do well because I wish that concept would be stronger, where ball companies would work with players and put players' names on bowling balls. I think Norm had a ball. I'm pretty sure he had a couple balls through the years. Now, obviously, the all-time great is the Johnny Petraglia LT48, but attaching PBA bowlers' names to ball brands or ball models. I would love that to work, and I'd love the players to get a percentage of those sales, you know. So
they do that with baseball bats, you know, like the Ken Griffey Jr.
My son buys his basketball shoes based off the name of, like, the basketball player that wears that. One year was the guy on the Trailblazers. This year was someone else. I mean, that's
there's huge. Enough – I mean, think of how many models bowling ball come out every year. It's unbelievable. You can't even list them all. So having one that's named after Kyle Troop seems like a pretty damn good idea to me.
Yeah, Frohammer.
Buying that ball. So,
why don't you tell them the true meaning behind Afro Hammer?
I think they can figure it out.
Second edit.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, there's our second edit.
No, it's so, not. Kyle finally holstered it. He wanted to do it. He holstered it. Good job, Kyle.
So what is happening, like, in the bowling ball production world? Are the factories just shuttered, or are they, like,
I can answer
super
that.
Low?
I can at the moment, Storm is still producing bowling balls. We're in one of the states. We're very fortunate that you know we're open and we're still taking orders.
What state is that?
Essential? We're in Utah. Storm is based out of Brigham City, Utah. So.
Shout out to Steve Young.
Yeah. Yeah. And from my understanding is all of the other manufacturers at the moment are not open. I think Mexico just decided to shut down their non-essential businesses. So that'll affect whatever, the Brunswick brands ends up doing at the moment. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, there's not a lot of bowling centers that are open across the country right now. And, the good thing is, guys, things are starting to turn around in Asia slowly but surely, which is a positive for us, you know, that we're having this conversation that people are slowly getting integrated back. You know, I know in Korea, the bowling centers are open and, you know, people are drilling bowling balls and having product over there. They're doing it a little differently. You know, they'll have pairs 1 and 2 open, then they'll leave a pair open in between, and then 5 and 6 is open. So they're doing their social distancing, but still being allowed to keep bowling centers open. At the moment right now in Europe, other than Sweden is the only country right now in Europe that has bowling centers open. Sweden is attacking this pandemic a little bit differently. They've actually left most of their businesses open and have kept a lot of their older population where they have to be a little bit more quarantined. So, but across, obviously you guys can see the news, Italy and France and Spain are obviously hardest hit over by the pandemic, and bowling centers universally across Europe are almost all shut right now, other than Sweden, which still has some centers open that I know of from my personal contacts. Because I actually work in Europe as my territory for Storm. So we're really lucky at Storm to continue to be able to stay open. And we hope that we can continue to, you know, ride the wave and stay open as long as we can to keep servicing the bowlers that we can service right now. And really, we need all to be open for everybody.
Did you see Frank Zhao's post today about China? Yep. Even in Shanghai, they opened a couple bowling centers the last week. And then,
so thanks for having me in the corner.
Tim, I don't know if maybe you have too, but I was talking to Emily Fraser from the Weber Cup, which Tim loves that event. It's supposed to be in England this year. And she's been trying to find a date. You know, we're going to move it back. And they keep trying to find a date. And it's like everything. There's a moving target. Because you pick a date and then you say, well, but the Lucky Larson's that week. Well, is the Lucky Larson even going to happen? You really don't know. So,
right.
And then they say, well, maybe this week. Well, they're supposed to be in Thailand that week. Well, are there enough guys that maybe it doesn't matter and you can conflict with it? You know, so everybody wants, everybody's doing their best to try to get great bowling events going. And it's just not easy because it's just so unpredictable how the schedule would work.
It's hard to speculate where we're going to be and what when, you know, and I'm sure that's probably some of the questions guys wanted to ask you. When do you think we'll be back up and running, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're all, everybody on the call is all hopeful that, man, wouldn't it be a great kickoff if the PBA League was the way to go? We'd like to be sooner. Everybody would be, but, you know, we also got to be careful and not jump in too early and you know, have a double-edged sword hit us. So it's unfortunate, but I'm, like I said earlier, I think we're going to be okay. We're going to come out okay, and we're going to persevere through this.
I think that would be a very fitting last word. Gentlemen, this has been amazing. Yeah. We have 2.5 hours of gold.
We'll do an extra minute.
Kyle and Tim.
Only two edits.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time and commitment. Hey, man, roll Bork, but go Bull in Portland. Buy some wings.
Thanks a lot, guys. Be safe. To do it. Be well.
Thanks, guys. Cheers. Love you, guys. Cheers. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Peace out, everybody. Peace out. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Rooftop Sessions. We hope everyone in the Bowl Portland community is staying safe, and we cannot wait to see you all back at Bayside and on the lanes.
Groovy on a Sunday afternoon. Really couldn't get away too soon. Ooh.